Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
We're live, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for joining us on the 18th day of December 2008. It is Thursday, 11 a.m. and 35 seconds Central Standard Time. You have found at the front lines of the information war of the resistance against the dehumanization operations of the global allied crime syndicate known as the New World Order. We have the top trends forecaster, Gerald Celente, joining us for an hour and a half today. And then we have Tex Mars in studio for 2 hours. If you don't know who these men are, you're going to find out today. Most of you out there know who they are, and they need no introduction. But Tex is going to be here talking about a host of issues, the militarization of the police, the open announcements that Homeland Security is going to be used against the American people that they've been preparing in secret. We're going to get into what happened in India and Pakistan 2.5 weeks ago with the bombings over there, get Texas' take on that. We're also going to talk about a host of other issues with Tex. And then, of course, Gerald Celente, he's been predicting massive Greek-style riots in the United States over the imploding economy. He'll be with us for an hour and a half today. And we will open the phones up so you get a chance to bring up different questions and topics to Gerald Celente. We are blessed to be able to take your calls, and we appreciate the folks that call in because it brings up different angles, different ideas, different perspectives that I would have never thought of or in the heat of the radio show that I wouldn't have gotten to. So we always enjoy spinning the wheel of fortune and taking your phone calls here on air for Tex Mars and Gerald Celente coming up today. I've been aware of this for about a year, and it's really concerned me, and we've mentioned it a few times, but I do want to spend a little bit of time on it today. Science Daily reports, boundary between Earth's upper atmosphere and space has moved to extraordinarily low altitudes, NASA instruments show. And I don't just believe NASA, other private meteorological scientific institutions have reported the same situation. How does this tie into the chemtrails? Paul Watson's doing an article on this today. I'm going to break that down after the break. And we've talked a lot about the Army War College, the Defense Department, the Pentagon openly saying that they are going to wage war on the American people and that they're going to pull troops out of South Korea, out of Iraq, out of other places that are battle-hardened, and particularly from Iraq and Kosovo, trained to run checkpoints and go door-to-door confiscating firearms. Sometimes one unit may search over 100 homes in one day. Very, 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 very brutal work. And classical tyranny at being pointed at the American people. But I had seen this article that Kurt Nemo emailed me yesterday out of the Phoenix Business Journal. Arizona police say they are prepared as War College warns military must prepare for unrest. IMF warns of economic riots. But I'd only read the first few paragraphs yesterday on air. I hadn't read the whole story. Last night I read it, and there is a chilling nugget in here from the Arizona police, from the Tucson police, from the Phoenix police and others. And that is that they have been secretly training. Now, we already knew this, but now it's admitted. Secretly training for years with Homeland Security to suppress the American people. Now, when Bill Clinton first proposed Homeland Security in 93, it was proposed to engage in gun confiscation. He even said on MTV, going into the housing projects and doing gun confiscations and, quote, things like that. So they've been quietly building this up. That's why they trained the Army, the Marines. They put them through these urban warfare drills to condition them and prepare them. Then they do urban warfare drills in major cities to condition the public and the police. This is a long acclimation, and now they admit they've been acclimating us, so I want to go over that report as well before Gerald Celente joins us. I've got to hurry. Also, Chrysler says they're going to shut down all production for a month. Reuters, maybe longer. A girl who gave two classmates Hall's cough drops is facing criminal charges right now. They're considering criminal charges. And Governor Blagojevich got his start as a bookie in a paid Chicago mob. Well, of course he did.
The Genesis Communications Radio Network proudly presents The Alex Jones Show, because there's a war on for your mind.
I want to get into this first so that I don't run out of time and not cover it. I'm going to go back over it with Tex Mars coming up in a few hours in studio. The Phoenix Business Journal, Arizona police say they are prepared as War College warns military must prep for unrest. IMF warns of economic riots. And the whole article is written by Mike Sonnix to sell you on the idea that this is okay, this is good, this is a wonderful thing to have troops on the streets of America. A new report by the U.S. Army War College talks about the possibility of Pentagon resources and troops being used should the economic crisis lead to civil unrest, such as protest against business and governments or runs on beleaguered banks. The poor bankers want to steal your money and have already stolen most of your pension funds, over 50% of the value. The beleaguered, see, oh, they're the good guys and the people are the bad guys. That's how that paragraph's written. The Army just suddenly has this plan. They suddenly are worried. They've just been gearing up forever with the private banks that own our government criminally to take over. I mean, this just happens over and over again, from Rome to Germany to China to Russia to third world countries every week. It's just always the greatest danger of a tyrannical government using the military to take over. But there's nothing said about that. It's just, oh, they just now got this idea. No, they've been training in secret for decades. We've gone and videotaped it at great risk, ladies and gentlemen. Remember once in Florida when we were covering the military doing takeover drills, they went around in the neighborhood saying, don't talk to Alex Jones, he's crazy, before they did the drills. And then somebody broke in our hotel room and stole $800 that we had for the trip. You know, stuff like that, cars following us around. I don't know why we ran, because we were in the woods videotaping their drills. The railroad track area said no trespassing, so we weren't going on the railroad track. And then we had these guys on dune buggies, and locals witnessed it. We also interviewed them, chasing us through the woods at night. And I don't know why we ran. I didn't want them to take my footage, I guess, because they'd already taken our footage in San Antonio one time at gunpoint, and that ended up in WorldNet Daily. But anyways, widespread civil violence inside the United States would force the defense establishment to reorient priorities and extremes to defend basic domestic order and human security, said the War College report. And the report goes on to say, engaging the American people, engaging resistance. And that's in the John Warner Defense Authorization Act. It's in all these official battle funding 2 years ago. But they're just now telling the public that, oh, this is something new because of the economic downturn. The economic downturn has been triggered by design, and the military is there as a vanguard to make sure the legitimate government, the states, the governors, and the legislatures, and the Congress aren't able to bring the criminals in the executive, whether it's Obama or Bush, they both work for the same people, on record. Obama's the biggest cheerleader for the banker takeover. It's to make sure that Congress doesn't follow the Constitution and arrest these criminals. And that's why you have Congress being threatened with martial law repeatedly, on record, with two different congressmen and one senator on record saying they were threatened with martial law. By the way, that's in this article too, but they spin it and say, well, you know, Congress was told that martial law may have to be declared if they didn't do the banker bill. No, it was, you do this or we'll just overthrow you. I mean, this is a coup, ladies and gentlemen. The coup has succeeded, and now they're stealing your pension funds. Do you understand? I kept telling you years ago this was the plan. The study says economic collapse, terrorism, and loss of legal order are among possible domestic shocks that might require military action within the U.S. Well, why is there loss of order? Because you've come in and destroyed the economy. You've come in and cut off liquidity of the economy so you can consolidate it. The International Monetary Fund Managing Director Dominique Strauss-Kahn warned Wednesday of economy-related riots and unrest in various global markets if the financial crisis is not addressed and lower-income households are hurt by credit constraints and rising unemployment. U.S. Senator James Inhofe, Republican Oklahoma, and U.S. Representative Brad Sherman, That all broke here, folks. Democrat, California, both said the U.S. Treasury Secretary Henry Paulson brought up a worst-case scenario as he pushed for the Wall Street bailout in September. No, he said, you do this or we'll just do it without you. Paulson's former Goldman Sachs CEO said that might even require a declaration of martial law, the two noted. And under the PDD 51 martial law that we've been under for over a year, it says Congress isn't involved in continuity of government. Governors aren't involved. Only the president, the National Security Council, FEMA, and Homeland Security. And now when you see FEMA on TV, it's generals. And now when you see other federal department directors of non-military, it's generals. It's admirals. They're taking over everything. The major universities are predominantly run by former generals and admirals. In some cases, in uniform now. This is military government. It isn't coming. We're in it. Martial law is when the normal civil government is abolished and due process is abolished. And then there's different degrees of it. People think of physical martial law as troops all over the streets and secret arrest and burning buildings. That is, on a scale of 1 to 10, a number 10. We're now at about a 6.5, a 7. And so you're starting to see troops at checkpoints, troops at DWI checkpoints to condition, troops at car wrecks, quote, helping for PR purposes to acclimate the population. State and local police in Arizona say they have broad plans to deal with social unrest, including trouble resulting from economic distress. The security and police agencies declined to give specifics, but said they would employ existing and generalized emergency response to civil unrest and raise for any reason. The Phoenix Police Department is not expecting any civil unrest at this time, but we always train to prepare for civil unrest and those issues. We have a tactical response unit that trains continually and has deployed on many occasions for any potential civil unrest issue, said Phoenix Police Spokesman Andy Hill. Now, here's the key. We have well-established plans in place for civil unrest, said Scottsdale Police Spokesman Mark Clark. Clark, Hill, and other police officials said the region did plenty of planning and emergency management training for the Super Bowl in February in Glendale. We're prepared, said Maricopa County Sheriff's Deputy Chief Dave Trombe, citing his office's past dealings with immigration marches and major events. And then it goes on to say they've been working with Homeland Security to deal with the American people. Nothing to do with terrorism, folks. Get that straight. The whole battle plan, the training, the entire makeup, and then their own directives say it's for the American people. Super Bowl security efforts included personnel and resources from the U.S. Department of Homeland Security and U.S. Military Northern Command. That's what's in control, the real capital there in Colorado Springs, which coordinated with Arizona officials. The Northern Command was created after 9/11 to have troops and Defense Department resources ready to respond to security problems, terrorism, and natural disasters. So, see, they use every big event to train the public with troops and military all merged. And it goes on to talk about Northern Command basically running the country. You can go read the rest of the article. We have it linked up on InfoWars.com and PrisonPlanet.com. It's very simple. Elites want to dominate. Elites want to conquer. Elites want to control. And the stated plan of the Council on Foreign Relations, the Royal Institute of International Affairs, the Bilderberg Group, the Trilateral Commission, the United Nations, is to get family farmers off farms, get people into compact cities, get everybody institutionalized on welfare or in the criminal justice system or on different types of psychotropic drugs. Everything is about monitoring you and getting control of your life. Now, what happened to Serbia? Serbia, love them or hate them, was encircled by the Croats and the Muslims who were continually attacking them with NATO and U.S. funding. They had Muslim extremists attack the nation repeatedly for 2 years. The Serbs finally fought back. NATO came in, blew the country to bits, bombed all their bridges and major infrastructure, power plants, water treatment, TV stations, because they were producing aircraft, cars. They were first world. They were becoming a destination for tourists that was rivaling many other areas of Western Europe. They had to be destroyed. And the NATO documents have come out that it was about destroying any independent group that didn't have private globalist central banks in control. Serbia wouldn't take a central bank owned by the Bank of England, basically. That's who owns it all, who controls it. Same thing happened with Afghanistan, a rogue country they didn't control, that had control of the opium. They went in there. Same thing happened in Iraq, first world nation, investments, under another U.S. earlier U.S. policy from the 50s for stabilization. They go in, they fund Saddam to attack the Iranians. When they're done with him, they set him up, tell him to invade Kuwait on record. He invades, they set him up. 18 years later, 3 million Iraqis are dead, 1.5 million in the last 5.5 years. Total siege. Their crop production is down by over 80% of what it was pre-Gulf War. Only GMO foods are allowed to be planted under law in Iraq. The public's being forcibly inoculated if they want, quote, welfare checks, and that's all they can live off of. Huge social engineering. And they've done this in country after country. Iceland. They're now doing it in Argentina, imploding them by design. They went from first world nation to third world nation within weeks in 2000, and it only gets worse. And we have the IMF and World Bank documents. They engineered all of that. Why am I mentioning this? The same things being done here. We are the wealthiest, strongest, most powerful country. We've been sucked into the New World Order. We've been used by the New World Order. And now, ladies and gentlemen, they are done with us. All the evils of the globalist system are being blamed on America as they go into the next phase. All the tyranny, the torture, the corruption, the wars. The international banks get the oil, the resources of Iraq and other nations, the opium of Afghanistan, the control of Kosovo. We pay the bill. And so now they're done with us, and just as any other sovereign nation that has sovereign, independent, wealthy middle classes must be destroyed. And we are now being destroyed, and they have prepared for decades for what they are now doing. And the poor troops, and I got to say poor troops because most of them are against shooting at U.S. citizens, they have no idea what's happening. They're going to see the riots. This will then set the precedent for using troops in the United States, and then we'll have troops on the streets forever, and then the secret arrest and the rest of it will begin a few years after that. This is what we face. We are being brought into bondage right now, financially and militarily, conquered by the New World Order. The sun never sets on the British Empire. The globe is encircled by its holdings. Britannia, Britannia rules the waves with the standard of their goddess flying high. The hordes of hell bring in world government. And the British learned over 100 years ago to create shadow viceroy puppet governments. And Obama is packing his administration with Council on Foreign Relations global warming moguls to set up hundreds of new environmental taxes that have nothing to do with protecting the environment. GMO, cross species, sky's the limit. Toxic waste dumping intensified. I've been reading some of their new policies. It's going to mean more land stealing, more land theft, kicking more people off their land. Just get ready. And again, the state of California is erecting scores of new taxes. New York State passing 88 new taxes, most of them fake environmental taxes. Just get ready, ladies and gentlemen. Right as the economy implodes by design, they are going to squeeze you and government is going to be expanded. It tripled under Bush. It's going to be expanded under Herr Obama. In other news, I'm going to get into this with Tex Mars because he's a professor of space and aeronautics as well as a pastor and best-selling author. He even wrote the textbooks on how to pass the military exams. A jack of all trades, a Renaissance man. We'll discuss this with Tex as I'm almost out of time before Gerald Celente joins us. Science Daily, boundary between Earth's upper atmosphere and space has moved to extraordinarily low altitudes, NASA instruments document, and other independent groups are also documenting this. Observations made by NASA instruments on board an Air Force satellite have shown that the boundary between the Earth's upper atmosphere and space has moved extraordinarily low altitudes. These observations were made by the Couple Ion Natural Dynamics Investigation Instrument Suite, which was launched aboard the U.S. Air Force's Communications Navigation outage forecast system satellite on April 16, 2008. The CINDI suite, which was built under the direction of the principal investigator Rod Helis of the University of Texas at Dallas, includes both an ion and natural sensors and makes measurements of the variations in neutral and ion densities and drifts. The discovery, however, that the ionosphere was not where it had been expected to be during the first months of the CINDI operations, the transition between the ionosphere and space was found to be at about 260 miles above the Earth altitude during the nighttime, barely rising above 500 miles during the day. These altitudes were extraordinarily low compared to the more typical values of 400 miles during the nighttime and 600 miles during the day. And it goes on to where they talk about a 11-year solar cycle, and when the sun heats up, it literally, you know, pumps in more ions in the atmosphere, and that's a large part of cloud seeding and cloud production. And now that the sun has basically cooled off, they're saying, it goes on, the fact that the sun has now has the least amount of sunspot activity ever recorded and is ejecting less radiation in different forms of the light spectrum and a whole other field of other rays, that the atmosphere itself is contracting. This planet has a tiny ribbon of atmosphere around it. Only about 18 miles of it is even breathable for human beings. And at that height, you would get very sick and a lot of people would die. But above 20,000 feet, you are dead meat, ladies and gentlemen, very, very quickly. So we have an atmosphere covering this giant planetoid we live on called Earth, called terra firma, that is energized by the sun, and the sun is cooling down right now in what they believe is part of its natural cycle. And do you hear Obama saying, you know, we've got to tax people so that the sun won't cool down? No. You hear him claiming that flatulence of cows and human respiration is causing this. And it's just asinine, ladies and gentlemen. But later I want to tie this into dangerous things we know are going on by at least the U.S. government manipulating the atmosphere worldwide. That could be contributing to this, because they admit they have very advanced weather weapons that are being employed against us, of course. If we can project the future through a historical lens with a wide range of data integrated in to the great gift God gave us, our mind, we can accurately forecast the future. I have accurately forecasted the future on hundreds of occasions. But somebody's been doing it a lot longer than I have, and with amazing, I'd say 95%+ accuracy, is Gerald Celente. Now, over a year ago, the British Ministry of Defense basically forecasted everything they're doing right now, and they admitted that they basically work for foreign offshore banks, that it's a world government, and that this is being done by design. This year, the military, the Pentagon, and the U.S. put out a similar report, but they know the general public is not reading these reports. So a lot of this isn't even forecasting for myself. It is going out and reading what the internal government documents are stating. And if we do not face up to what's happening, if we do not face up to what's unfolding, it is only going to get worse. Now, the military is broad, paints with a broad brush when they talk about this. Gerald Celente has been very specific that there would be worldwide riots starting. And he said that about a year ago. And now, voila, we see it happening. And now we see the IMF, World Bank, and others echoing this, and the military saying that they are prepared to suppress the American people. They also spin this in the media and say the Greeks are rioting because the police shot a 15-year-old in the back. But if you read the Greek websites, the Greek news, they're saying, no, everything's being privatized, and that's not free market. The roads, the power plants, the universities, it's all being handed over to the IMF and World Bank. They're being looted. They're being robbed. They're losing all their jobs. Their currency's being devalued. The European Union is absorbing them and destroying them. And just last week, the Financial Times of London admitted that the New World Order is anti-democratic and is tyrannical, but said that that's a good thing. Evans-Andros Pritchard came out in the London Telegraph last Thursday and said that we're going to see riots worldwide because of globalism and because it is tyrannical. So here we have it. It's unfolding. But we're going to get specific forecasts in the next hour and a half from Gerald Celente on what he specifically sees happening in the next month, the next year, the next 2 years, the next 3 years, and then some solutions, how we prepare for it, in his educated opinion. You can go to his website, trendsresearch.com, and watch all the videos of him going back decades ago, making accurate predictions years beforehand. And, of course, CNN, ABC, Fox have all called him, you know, the best predictor of future trends out there. And so we're very, very honored to have him on the show with us today. Mr. Celente, it's good to have you back with us.
Oh, thanks so much for having me, Alex.
You know what? Instead of Alex Jones throwing out a bunch of questions out of the gate, what is most important to Gerald Celente right now? What do the listeners need to know is coming up in the future, according to your crystal ball?
Well, you really hit upon it. We're going to see revolutions. This whole system is falling apart. There is no salvaging it. When you look at the steps that are being taken, we call it the Bernanke two-step after the Federal Reserve Chairman, and that, of course, is either adjust interest rates, which they've now adjusted to a point where they can't be adjusted anymore, and or print more money. And they've done both. And neither of those two actions have stemmed the unraveling of the U.S. economy, or the world economy, for that matter. The governments, the local state governments, including, of course, the federal government as well, the only other solution that they're doing is they're squeezing the little people for more money. Back here in New York, I'm sure it's making the national news as well. They've put taxes as much as 18% on soda pop, 8% for a taxi ride. They just increased the transit fares, and in doing so, they've decreased the amount of available subways, cutting back on the buses. They're even bringing in new subway cars now to really squeeze the little people, just like they do in China. They're taking out the seats so that they could push people in like cattle. So we're going to see the little people squeeze, by the way, is one of our top trends for 2009.
Well, you were saying that a year ago. Now they've announced, as you said, 88 new taxes in New York State alone, hundreds of other taxes all over the place. The people just don't have the money to pay for all of this. And so, as the IMF and World Bank document stated in late 2001, they want the people to riot so they can then bring in the army against them. We've had decades of secret training by the military to take over the West. Now they're announcing from France to Germany to England to the United States to Canada that indeed, you know, it's in major papers, martial law is good, the troops will suppress you. I mean, this really is a financial coup we're witnessing. Can you speak to that?
Well, it is definitely a financial coup. Wall Street has hijacked Washington in broad daylight. And we now, as we know, of course, you know, the U.S. Treasury Secretary Henry Paulson is a Goldman Sachs man, former CEO. They're bringing in now Obama, backtrack Obama, we call him, the man of change. Of course, there's no change. They're bringing in Timothy Geithner, the Federal Reserve Chairman, from the Federal Reserve President of the New York Federal Reserve Bank, President of the New York Federal Reserve. And, you know, they're just bringing the whole crew of Wall Street people running Washington. So it's being done in broad daylight, as well as these bailouts. They may have all the plans in place, and they may be very, you know, the Illuminati, so to speak, may have their agenda laid out. But when you see what's going on, it has to be the un-Illuminati that's executing their plans. Because no matter what they do, they're not going to be able to stop the amount of uprising that's going to pour forth. You know, I'm a Bronx boy originally, and you know, I know what the city looks like. And, you know, we have a saying here at the Trends Research Institute. When people lose everything, and they have nothing to lose, they lose it. And this is what these white shoe boys don't understand. You know, the Princeton, Harvard, Yale crowd, you know, that has had the silver spoon.
They're arrogant yuppies who think they're God and have disdain for everybody. And they think it's cute they've stolen $8.5 trillion. And that, those numbers are 2 weeks old now, folks. It's over $1.3 trillion they steal a week. So it's over $10 trillion. You watch the next week or two, that number will come out. But $8.5 trillion admittedly stolen. And these arrogant yuppies, these arrogant frat boys are telling Congress, you don't get to know where the money went, and we have the army standing by. That's what Paulson told them. I mean, this is insane, megalomaniacal hubris. So where is this going? I mean, is they just openly hijack everything, steal everything, and say, we're going to squeeze you down to nothing?
Exactly. And what we're saying is it's going to be beyond their control. This is the beginning of the second revolution, and it's going to be worldwide. There's no stopping it. So as the trends that we're looking at for 2009, the revolution is the third among them. The first one is that's going to begin to precipitate this is the great collapse. And as you well know, in this exactly this time last year, we came out with the panic of 08. We said Americans would wake up in 2008 and the financial markets would unravel. There would be no stopping it. Now we're saying it's going to be the collapse of 09. And let me explain why. In 2008, most of the focus in the media has been on the financial markets and the real estate markets. Of course, they're intertwined. Now what we're going to see is the great retail crash come from a very, very dismal Christmas. As a result of that, you're going to start seeing major chains going bankrupt after the Christmas holiday, probably around January, middle of January. There's going to be some kind of a bit of euphoria because people are still hoping that their man of change will somehow miraculously bring about change. And of course, he said he was going to heal the nation and repair the world. So Obama has great plans ahead. And there are people that actually believe this stuff. So we're going to wait till after the inauguration, January 20th, before the real pressure starts to hit.
And when they find out that he is actually a bigger cheerleader than Bush for the banker takeover and that he is their man, how long until the people become disillusioned with their new corporate savior?
Well, this is where we're going. So now February comes along. Things get really very cold and dismal and bleak. We're going to start seeing, as I said, major retailers folding. Now, let's think of what happens. We've already seen KB Toys, Sharper Image, Circuit City, Linens and Things, Stephen Barry's go under it, plus many more.
Are you kidding? Half my favorite restaurants in Austin aren't there anymore.
They're not there anymore. So now we're going to see major chains start to fold. Who is going to rent these vacant spaces?
Who?
Nobody. You're going to start seeing empty stores throughout malls, throughout strip malls. Now let's bring it to another level.
And won't that further destroy confidence when people see the physical manifestation of a economy in cardiac arrest?
Precisely. So the psychological impact is as great. Now let's move over to another sector of commercial. We're already seeing the financial markets, they've collapsed. empty buildings, on and on and on. People are being fired every day, and we see the numbers. What was Bank of America last week, 52,000, a couple of weeks earlier, Citigroup. And I love it. Bank of America, they came out, they said that these 52,000 would be fired over a three-year period. Yeah, like they can look 3 years ahead of time. They can't plan lunch, you know, so we get this straight. These people are being fired right away. The point being, now you're going to have the next shoe to fall is going to be the commercial real estate sector, which was leveraged far greater than the home real estate sector. So now you're going to see the collapse. The retail sector collapses. Commercial real estate collapses. There is nobody left to save anymore. The crash keeps coming harder and harder and louder and louder. So that's the second phase. The third phase after the crash, so first we had the panic, then we had the collapse, and now we're going to go into the greatest depression. And it's going to be worse than the last depression. Although, of course, Bernanke, and I was doing an interview, and the host said to me, "Well, Fed Chairman Bernanke is a student of the Great Depression, and he says there won't be one this time around." And I say, why would anybody believe anyone who hasn't predicted what was happening, going to happen, and has everything that they've said has come out false? So why would anybody give any credence to this person?
That's right. I happened to be watching Cavuto last night, just briefly, and he said the 15 grand poobah financial experts he had on a year and a half ago said it was over, we were going into green pastures. Everything was wonderful. Well, what Cavuto won't tell you is those guys aren't stupid. They're liars. They've been busy positioning their money, buying their private retreats in Dubai and Paraguay. They've been busy getting their money offshore while they told the suckers to keep pumping their money in.
That's right. And that's what they do. You know, it's a sucker's game. These are Wall Street cons, like Coney Island Barkers. So now what happens, here's why it's going to be worse than the Great Depression, and why we're calling it the greatest depression. Back in the 1930s, most people didn't own homes, so they weren't paying these mortgages, they weren't paying insurance, they weren't paying upkeep and all the other expenses it keeps to run a home. Number two, there was no such thing as home equity loans. Matter of fact, back then, if somebody had what they called a second mortgage, that meant that they were a loser and they needed money. Back then, Americans didn't have credit cards. They didn't exist. So the people weren't $14 trillion in debt. And back then, we had a trade surplus. We were not $700 billion in the hole each year. And we had budget surpluses. What are we at this year? $2 trillion? $1 trillion? The number keeps changing.
Oh, now the defense budget's over $1 trillion, not even counting the supplementals. Bush tripled the size of government, and all these other governments are just growing, growing, growing. Again, don't they understand that they can only put so much weight on the donkey's back?
No, they don't, because they've never had difficult financial times in their lives. And unless you've experienced it, you don't know how to deal with
it. So they live in these armored, pampered palaces.
They've been pampered all their lives. They've been pampered. Look, we all went to, all of those of us that went to college, we know who these guys are. You know, George Bush was the kind of guy that ran around, you know, with the cooler guys. And then when trouble broke out and they got caught, George Bush would rat them out. And then he'd say, no, he didn't. That's who George Bush was. And Al Gore was that kind of guy, you know.
Well, it's worse than that. Remember back in like 1991, George Bush Sr. was on national TV at a grocery store, and he stepped back and he said, what is that? And they said, well, it's a scanner. You know, it'd been in for a decade. He goes, what is that? What is that laser? And they said, sir, this is how they scan the food. I mean, the guy never went and bought his own food. He hadn't been in a grocery store.
Exactly, and all these guys, you know, we know who they are, and they're the only reason
they're
that
Eddie
they have,
Haskell's with an army.
You got, but well put. Boy, I have to use that one. I'll credit you with it. Eddie Haskell with an army, perfect. And Al Gore was that, you know, the kid that used to brown nose the teacher all the time. You know, I mean, this is who these people.
He's a sack
are.
Of crap. He's a fake.
Yeah, and that's who. So we all know who these people are in life. So it's like it's still high school, but now it's serious. So in going back to this greatest depression, So we already have the consumer in debt, $14 trillion, the government in debt, and why it's going to be worse than the Greatest Depression. Now let's add on some other things. People are watching their whole lives unfolding in front of them as their IRAs and 401ks dissolve. They didn't have that back then, and now they have another thing. Back then, we were a very different country. When we did get out of the Depression, it was the beginning of World War II, and we were the world manufacturers, bar none. We don't have that anymore. So now we're going into this mess, in a worse mess than we've ever been. And here's another big one. Back then, we were an ascending society. We were not a declining society. We had a growing class of people that came in. You know, people had dignity back then. They weren't like they are today.
And we weren't not just economically declining. We were not a physically, age-wise, we're one of the oldest civilizations on Earth.
And in very bad shape.
Yeah, so we have an aging population, a bunch of cops in black ski masks strutting around working for Eddie Haskell. You can't put perfume on a pig, folks. This whole thing is a rotten, worm-eaten husk. Stay with us. TrendsResearch.com. You can go there and subscribe to his trends report. And if you're in business, if you are care about your family, if you really want to be informed with somebody who's got a track record of being frighteningly accurate, this is the place to go, TrendsResearch.com. Of course, you can also check out Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.com, where we fight against the construction of this prison planet. And that's what the globalists are setting up, and we fight them via the InfoWar, hence InfoWars.com. So, Gerald, I was throwing in my two cents throughout that. Recap the first three or four phases and then get into the latter phase, and they think they're going to use all these militarized police, steroid head cops. A lot of the cops are good. They're openly saying they're not going to go along with this. The military is saying they don't want to shoot at Americans, but they're now acclimating the public and telling us to get ready for it, which means they intend to use them.
Well, yeah, you know, we put nothing past them, of course. I mean, we're fighting a war now in Iraq for reasons that have been proven false, whether or not, you know, they were known they were false as academic. At this point, the fact is they're false. So killing innocent people for false reasons, I mean, where does it stop? So, you know, there's nothing I would put past them. You know, read my lips, no new taxes. I didn't have sex with that woman, Monica Lewinsky. I smoked, but I didn't inhale. You know, I mean, it was Saddam Hussein says weapons of mass destruction and ties to Al-Qaeda. It's beyond me why anyone would believe anything that they say. So, of course, you know, we expect the government to respond in the worst possible way. And so the three phases are, before revolution, is that first we're going to see the collapse of 09, and that's going to be when the retail sector and the commercial real estate sector, and of course the credit card sector collapses too. You know, we're researchers, and we're finding people, for example, you know, cab rides now. Cab drivers are telling us that more and more people are putting cab rides on their credit cards because they don't have the cash. So the next shoe to fall after that is going to be the credit card crunch, when people have been postponing their future by putting their charges on their credit cards. So after the collapse, then we have the Greatest Depression. People are going to be in the streets. As we say, you know, when people lose everything and they have nothing to lose, they lose it. So we're going to go through the Greatest Depression. Obama-rama, there's going to be that little grace period in there when the people think that they're going to have their savior is going to come up with a great plan, although they've continued to ignore what the plan is. And for just a moment, I'd like to speak about the plan. He's going to create 2.5 million new jobs, ostensibly, and he's going to create this great works project. Where are they going to get the money from, number one? And they're going to print it, of course. And number two is, so what? 2.5 million jobs over how long? We just lost 2 million this year. So it's not going to make up anything, and we have millions more coming online. After that, we're going to see the revolution. Those are the four big trends that we have under the 11 trends that we've come out with for the top 10 trends. From those trends, the rest is going to shape itself. The revolution, yourself, people like myself, we're talking about that. Most people are not prepared for it. People are not, they weren't prepared for the recession. I mean, look, we went on for a half a year, more, three quarters of the year, with them debating whether or not we were in a recession. So certainly they're not going to admit we're going to go into a depression. And certainly they're not going to admit that we're ready for revolution.
Well, suddenly the IMF, World Bank, the Prime Minister of Canada, Gordon Brown, they are starting to talk about depression. Does that mean it's coming sooner rather than later? I want to break down how this revolution will manifest itself, what it will look like, what the triggers are going to be. I've said for years it's going to be police shooting a young person in the back. Look at what we just saw in Greece. And then I feel sorry for the police and military because you're going to get your butts kicked.
Big Brother. Mainstream media. Government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Ladies and gentlemen, he is probably the most accomplished and accurate trends forecaster in the world. He is a frequent contributor to Fox, CNN, ABC News, international television, major newspapers, consultant to major corporations. He is Gerald Celente with us for another hour. We're going to open the phones up at the bottom of the hour for your questions or comments to Gerald Celente at 1-800-259-9231. You can basically ask him about anything, but specifically, I just ask that the questions be addressed to him. And you know, folks not call in on other side issues. 1-800-259-9231. So he went through the first three phases towards revolution and worldwide rioting and revolution that will be sustained. The military is now saying that they are prepared to engage the American people. The Army War College is saying this. Now, there is no longer any doubt about that. Gerald Celente, how do you see the revolution kicking off? How do you see it starting? When do you see it starting? How do you see it starting?
Yeah, I will read from you from our Trends Journal that just went out. When we say come the revolution, we do not forecast a 1776 style revolution to spontaneously erupt. It will happen in stages, it will spread among the classes, and be waged in many forms over the internet, in town halls, on the ballots, as well as at the barricades. What will be the spark that ignites it? The final straw bailout, another tax hike, disparaging entitlements? Or will it be the ultimate, quote, let them eat cake policy that pushes people past the breaking point? Now this, who will break first? The former middle class that lost their jobs, 401ks, pensions, and even their homes? Jobless, blue-collar, and paycheck-to-paycheck workers, their credit maxed out and heading toward homeless? The young and restless with dead-end jobs or no jobs, who believe their future had been stolen and want revenge? The artists and intellectuals on one hand, the hardcore conservatives and passionate patriots on the other, united in outrage at Big Brother's control of the entire socioeconomic and political system? One of the above, some of the above, all of the above, who will fire the shot heard round the world? So that's how we pose it. And I tell the story in here of my meeting with John Connolly, who, of course, you know, was the governor of Texas, sitting in front of JFK and took the bullet in the back. And it was in 1992, and Connolly had asked to meet me because in one of my early books, The Trend Tracking, in 1989, I had forecast a new third party and mentioned someone like Ross Perot. So the Connolly, John Connolly's wife Nellie, through this fellow who put the meeting together, John J. Hooker from Tennessee, we went to the book depository, and the Texas Book School Book Depository, and I have a photo. It's in the Trends Journal of me, Connolly, and his wife Nellie standing in front of the book depository, and John Connolly was a dying man, and I could see it. And by the way, this was their first time back, 1992, since the assassination. And he's telling us the story of what happened that day. We were parked out in front of the limousine. That's the side, by the way, the shot that everyone sees of the book depository. That's the side of the building. And I knew he was a dying man because he had these terrible purplish splotches on his hands. He was on massive doses of prednisone, cortisone, to for his lung infection. And my father had died of the same kind of disease.
So Gerald Celente, stay there. We'll hear the John Connolly story, former governor of Texas story, when we get back from the grassy knoll. And then we'll get more into how you see this revolution unfolding and how it will end, how you see us coming out of it. Stay with us.
He's the T-Rex of political talk. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
Talking to one of the top trend forecasters in the world, Gerald Celente, for the rest of this hour, trendsresearch.com. A lot of people say, I don't care about the future. I don't want to, don't care about anybody else but myself. That's the most foolish statement in the world. We are all in a sea of humanity together on this ship going through space that is planet Earth. Everything that we do affects others. Everything that other people do affects us. I see so many foolish people 2-3 years ago when I was saying they're going to implode. The subprime markets, I'd gone to Bilderberg, I'd infiltrated. They were saying they were going to implode the subprime market by design to start a derivatives crisis, to have a global consolidation of wealth, set up a world government, set up a carbon tax, paid directly to the private central banks, that private central banks would issue their own, quote, government bonds, which the Federal Reserve announced last week in the New York Times they're going to be doing. This is the private central banks becoming the world government openly. Now, I believe they may have overplayed their hand and created such a Ponzi scheme, and so many of their minions, like Madoff, may have been so greedy that it's even endangering their own architecture. They are saying that in the Financial Times of London. They're claiming that they've overdone it. They said, well, this is good for us to consolidate banks and insurance companies and get power, but this endangers our own system. So I want to talk to Gerald Celente about that whole issue after he finishes the story about former Governor John Connolly, who was shot in the car with JFK. They're in the school book, a depository building, looking out the window. Please continue the story.
Well, what happened was we were going back, and I noticed him sitting across from him that there were these splotches on his hands, these big purplish splotches. He was on prednisone. And it occurred to me, that he was a dying man. He ended up dying, actually, in June, and this was in late October when we met. And the as we're going back into the Anatole Hotel, he said to me, I read your book, Trend Tracking, and I know your heart is in the right place. He said, but you don't have a clue what's going on, and neither do the American people, because if they did, there'd be a revolution in this country. This was in 1992. And, I knew what he meant because I had been around long enough I began my career. I ran, was the number two guy running the mayoral campaign in Yonkers, New York in 1971. And then they sent me up to Albany, and I was an assistant to the secretary of the New York State Senate. And I spent from 73 to 79 in between D.C. and Chicago as a government affairs specialist. And I had been, for a trade association, chemicals being one of the fields. So I had been around long enough, spent time with Ronald Reagan, and I knew what the story looked like. So when Connolly said that to me, it didn't come as a shock. And I wondered, when would it happen? And now the when is now.
Absolutely. And NAFTA and GATT, everything designed to destroy the middle class, to put all power, not a free market economy, not a vibrant economy, because that's not good for monopolies, at the expense of the economy, at the expense of the public worldwide. These internationalists have done everything they can to destroy the real economy and transfer everything into the fiat Las Vegas economy. Now, expanding on that, when we first came into the segment, I made the point that they stated, the financial elite stated, that they were going to engineer a worldwide collapse to consolidate things. They would then pose as the saviors and bring in open world government as the solution. But now it appears that they are mismanaging things and that this is spiraling out of control. Can you speak directly to that, A? And then, B, we've seen a flotilla of hundreds and hundreds. The media is festooned with the Wall Street Journal, the Financial Times of London, the French news agency, Canadian papers saying, yes, we're in a world government. Yes, it's tyrannical for your own good. Yes, we're going to use troops on you. Yes, we want to take your guns, but it's for your own good. Is it out of their control now? And B, why are they trumpeting world government now?
It's totally out of their control. As I said, if there's an Illuminati, the Unluminati are the people that are in control right now. Just let's look at the players. For example, we'll look at in the United States. I mean, who are the congressional leaders? Well, on the Democrats, you have what? You have Pelosi, Reid, you have Barney Frank, Christopher Dodd, Biden. And on the Republicans, what do you have? Bonner. Who else? Who's a big-name Republican at this time? I mean, how about Laurel and Hardy and Abbott and Costello? Where do they fit in? I mean, look at these people. Does anybody out there think that these politicians are smarter than them? Look at Bernanke. I mean, he looks like a sad beagle, this guy. What brains are out there? Look at Paulson. Think of the things that he said last year. May 7th, he said that the worst of the economic crisis was behind us. I mean, one after another. So who are the people in charge? Go over to France. What do you have? Sarkozy, the little American. You have Berlusconi over in Italy. He's like a Rocky VI movie, He's been back so many times. You have Grandma Merkel over in Germany. Gordon Brown over in England. Gordon Brown, another shade of beige. You go around the world, look at the leaders. Who are these people? No, it's going to be a let-them-eat-cake time. It's out of control. There's nothing that they can do. And as I said, and I'll say it again, when people lose everything and they have nothing to lose, they lose it. So, for example, we're seeing all these massive firings going on. How are people going to afford to pay their mortgages? To pay their insurance. They're not going to. And this is beyond the pale of any belief. They're raising taxes across the board, property taxes, school taxes. Now, I'm not a stupid person, so when they come to me and say, Mr. Salenti, we're raising the taxes on your building or your property, whatever, because the valuations have gone up, well, how about lowering them because the valuations have gone down?
Well, in cases where
we're going to raise them.
Well, in cases where they are lowering them, they're just doing one-time assessments in Texas and Wyoming and all over the place. Cities just say, well, we got to build some new roads and curbs, so every house gets a $15,000 to $20,000 one-time assessment, and the people are like, I don't have a job. I'm already about to lose my house. Where do you think the money's going to come from? And the locals say, look, give us the money or a SWAT team's coming.
Well, and again, this is where we're going to have the breakdown, because people, when you don't have it, you can't squeeze more out of it. People are going to become very ugly and very violent. The ads that you're running on your show for lasers and other kinds of things are going to be, survival is going to be a big business. I'm a close combat martial artist. I've been practicing for over a quarter of a century. I'm armed. I have my SKS, and it's registered for, if anybody listening out there that thinks it's an illegal operation. I will protect myself if I have to. I haven't been put on this earth for somebody else to think that they're better than I am and can take my life.
Gerald Salenti, I want to run through a whole line of questioning with quick answers from you if I can, because there's so much I want to pick your brain on. But going back to my second question, why are they trumpeting that, yes, we're setting up world government, yes, we've been setting it up in secret, yes, it's anti-democratic, but it's for your own good?
Well, because these are the kind. I mean, because it's a takeover. It's, you know, they, as I said, you know, Washington's been taken over by Wall Street, and they're going to keep saying it's for our own good, but it's not going to do any good. Again, the people that are in control, it's out of their hands.
Why are they killing the golden goose? I mean, they have this system.
Greedy.
They have
the
system.
Greedy, and why do people get into politics? You know, Eisenhower had a great quote. He said, "Anybody that would want to run for president had to be crazy." Or psychologically, you know, deranged.
They're control freaks. Well,
yeah,
that's the bigger issue.
How hungry or crazy? So, you know, he said, if you're called on to serve, that's different. But these people spend their whole lives trying to tell other people how to live. So, you know, no, the system is breaking down. The big story behind everything that's going on here. And this is what we wrote back in 2002, the summer edition of the Trends Journal, Empire America Fading Fast. This isn't an economic crisis. The empire is in decline. We can see in the future these secessionist movements that are taking root, gaining more and more strength. As a matter of fact, I spoke at one in Vermont this past November. And it's one of the more active ones in the country.
Well, Gerald, we have this huge $1 trillion-plus military-industrial complex. It's imploding worldwide. And it appears that this whole apparatus, this predatory system, is going to implode back to the U.S. only. And then they're then going to predate and feed on us here domestically. I mean, is that the plan?
I don't know what the plan is, but I do know that they will do anything to keep the people in line. And that our, you know, the freedoms, I mean, look what happens every time there's a political convention. You know, they bring in the stormtroopers. You can't step out of line. Look what happened here in New York from the Republican and Democratic convention. I think it was the Republican convention.
2004, yeah, I was there.
Yeah, I mean, look at the videotape of the police assaulting innocent people and rounding them up and pushing false charges on them and throwing them in jail. This is America. This isn't the America that I grew up to love.
And by the way, they lost over 1,000 lawsuits over that, but they don't care. They just pay them off with tax money. Gerald Celente is our guest. When we get back, I want to quickly get into their attack on the internet. They're moving to shut down the old web, force us onto a highly regulated internet too. That's part of Obama's big upgrade. Madoff, I mean, this is the former head of the NASDAQ, showing a window into the criminal class that's literally ruling us, the Eddie Haskells with an army. I want to get into the fact that the elites are all leaving the United States and leaving Israel and leaving other key areas. Why are the billionaires fleeing Israel and the United States? Where you see this going? What you see militarily happening as the empire collapses? And then solutions to all of this. And again, how you see us coming out of all of this. Gerald Celente is our guest, trendsresearch.com. Go there and sign up for his report. All right, Gerald Celente, I want to go to calls in the next segment, so let me go through these calls quickly. If anybody was doubting how criminal Wall Street is, Madoff, they're now saying it could be over $100 billion, not $50 billion, stolen from charities, pension funds, government pension funds, Jewish groups, ripping off his own sons. I mean, this is the type of kleptocracy that we have, and it turns out the brokerage firms and banks were knowingly involved in all of this with him. That's what this derivative system is a Ponzi scheme.
Oh, yeah. I don't think they should call it a Ponzi scheme anymore. Ponzi was small change compared to these criminals. You know, let's call it a Matloff, you know. I mean, you know, this thing, it's endemic. It's throughout all of Wall. This is what Wall Street has become. You know, what's bad for Wall Street, Alex, is great for Main Street. And I'll tell you why. It's Wall Street that killed Main Street. It's Wall Street with all this finagling that allows these huge developers to borrow all of this money on leverage, build these huge malls, and then the criminals in hand, the politicians who get all these payoffs, they call them campaign contributions, then they give these huge developers all of these breaks, you know, these loan guarantees, They give them access road building and tax breaks. And what they've done is they've put Main Street out of business. This belief that we need a Wall Street so that we can keep creating the ugliness that they've created. I mean, my God, does anyone like driving down a street and seeing nothing but strip malls and malls compared to the old beautiful cities? And by the way, we're now in Kingston, New York, and appropriately, without knowing it, but maybe we did at some level, we're right off the most historic corner in the United States. We're right on it. The only corner in the U.S. where there's a stone building on each corner dating back to the 1600s. And also, Kingston was one of the core hotspots of the Revolution. The Senate House is still here, and it was the first capital of New York State. We're here because it's a walking community. We have all these beautiful old buildings, and we support all the local people around. That as this dies, as these giants fall, we're going to start seeing a return to local. And so, because what we also do at the Trends Research Institute, when we write the Trends Journal, is we give people trend posts to follow, to profit and to avoid dangers. As this thing unfolds more and more, the real estate buys, and there will be, but not yet, are going to be in these kind of communities where people could live and where they work, where they shop, where they have a community. The only thing that's going to save people during this greatest depression is to build the strongest communities that they can, not a federal or a state, but a local. That's where the survival is going to come.
Instead of vertical integration, going back to local control and true diversity and sovereignty, shifting gears back to something you said a few minutes ago, they've weaponized the market. These private brokerage firms and central banks can issue endless liquidity to themselves. They create the monsters like Walmart and others. They consolidate the economy like a giant risk game until the final phase when there's nothing left, and they're sitting there with all the currency, all the power, all the money, but they've destroyed their own markets. And that's why Wall Street was aware of the criminal activity with their Ponzi schemes, and that's why they moved in with the police state. But again, what is going to support the police state when there's no taxing base?
Exactly. As we said, there's going to be high levels of anarchy and revolution. And, you know, the other thing is that the other reason why we're at where we're at, while we're located here, it's a very rich area in terms of agriculture, academics, manufacturing, great transportation, the Hudson River, beauty, the Hudson River Valley. So it's going to be these kind of places and these kind of things. Something old is dying, but something new will be born. And, you know, I'm a world traveler, and the one thing I can say, and I mean this with all my heart, is everywhere you go, people are always envious of the United States because they still think that we have the freedoms, of course, that we don't have. But what we do have that no one else does have is really an innovative spirit and an ability to think that isn't restricted by cultural norms.
So there are great opportunities, and I'm going to have you back on again in the near future, next year, if you'll do it, to do a whole show on opportunities in this crisis, not just to protect yourself, but to thrive. When we come back, let's talk about how you see the revolution unfolding itself, and then how you see us the different avenues of how we will come out of it. All we've got is the cards that life deals us, but there's the question of how we play those cards. The good news is we've been here for decades, warning people about what was going to happen and explaining just how it would unfold, and exactly what we said is now happening, so people are paying attention. You know, it's not tooting our horn. It's just a fact to give the listeners an idea of how many people we're reaching. I have, in the last few days, been contacted by some of the biggest names in Hollywood that I didn't know, some of the biggest names in television that I didn't know. I've talked to other people I've known for a long time in Hollywood, and they say that if we thought the Patriot Liberty 9/11 Truth Movement, anti-New World Order movement was big before, with the producers and directors and writers and actors and actresses, it is many times bigger now. So fighting the New World Order, being aware of this, is the hottest thing. And it's not some trend. It's not some new trendiness. The establishment's trying to suppress it. It is an underground movement that is bigger than the above-ground false mainstream media projection telling us that the establishment loves us and the establishment isn't corrupt and the establishment's going to take good care of us. And so as their false reality begins to fall to the real reality, we have a great opportunity to actually turn this thing around. I have a few final questions for you, Gerald Celente, and then I want to get to some phone calls. But to finishing up, how do you see this? I mean, when does physical revolution, I know you can't mark a date or a month, but what, a year out, 2 years out? A lot of experts we talk to say about 2 years out. Some are now saying a year out. Some say 3 years out. Governments are saying 2 to 3 years out. Government Pentagon reports are saying 2 years out, a year out. When does the breakdown really occur? And then how do you see it playing out?
Well, we have forecast 2012. That's the year that we're pinpointing the revolution. Just as, for example, we're in a recession. We're in the early stages of depression now. But when you look at the real unemployment numbers, as you well know, they're ranging between, 12 to 14%. That's even according to the government statistics when they put in the people that are no longer actively seeking jobs. So just as they said, for example, that we were in a recession a year ago, even though they weren't admitting it, we'll be in revolution for a while and they won't admit it. We believe the official date will come around 2012, if not sooner. We're going to start seeing the first signs of it, we believe, this winter. There's going to be food riots. There's going to be housing riots. There's going to be riots at many different levels. And the form they take is very difficult. You know, for example, we had... You know, in 2000, and was December 14th, 2000, USA Today ran our top trends. And the first trend was that they read, 2001 won't be our year, Trendsier says. And we warned that a wave of anti-Americanism would sweep the globe and that Americans wouldn't be safe at home or abroad. We didn't know, for example, that it would be 9/11, but we knew the flashpoint was there. The flashpoint, we believe, is going to start happening, become visible on the streets this winter. There's going to be uprisings. They're going to be violent. And they will be suppressed or try to be suppressed. You know, in my book, Trends 2000, which I wrote in 96, came out in January, finished it in 96, came out in January of 97, we had this, come the revolution. But in that, we wrote, and, you know, maybe naively, that we were in a third world country where the military or the police would fire on their own people. And we're hoping that, you know, hope is probably the most bankrupt word in the metaphysical language or dictionary, but we would believe that we're greater than the troops firing on their own people. So we saw the revolution coming a long time
ago. How do you see it playing out?
It's difficult. Again, I would say the first thing that the reality kind of things are going to be people being cold, hungry, and nowhere to sleep. And we can see rioting of maybe street riots, food riots. Crime, by the way, that's going to be the false flag. They're going to use crime as the example and anarchists in the crowd.
And then the public will beg for troops on the streets to save them.
Exactly. So they could do a false flag kind of operation like that. And, for example...
Well, I mean, we caught them in Denver. The police, it was in the Denver Post, attacking other police for the news cameras.
Right. Well, it happened here in New York, too. And the same thing, by the way, with these so-called anarchists, you know, these people that always have, you know, these black caps covering their faces,
yep.
these masks, you know, who
half
are they?
The time they're foundation rental mobs, the other half the time they're cops.
Yeah, exactly. So we don't know who they are. So it can be that kind of a false flag. But we those are the most likely scenarios.
Okay, well,
and by the way, one of the groups that people are not going to expect that are going to be very violent and very upset, well, maybe they do, are going to be all these college students that have $40,000, $50,000 worth of debt on their shoulders. They're being hounded to pay it, and then they can't even get a job at Starbucks. So that's going to be the revolutionary crowd, because the, you know, the young people, I mean, I'm speaking for myself, a person over 60, yeah, you just don't have the energy that you had before.
Well, Mr. Salente, in the time we've got, I see the flashpoint at factories, as we saw in the 20s and 30s and 40s, or the bonus marchers. That I see vets revolting. I see college students. I see government workers when they find out that they've had their pension funds stolen. And that leads me to the big flashpoint. 401Ks down over 50%, clearly going to continue. What are the firemen and teachers and police and government people going to do when they find out that, that they've had their pension funds stolen by the bankers?
Well, again, this is why we're looking at it as we're saying that these are only symptoms of a much greater trend, and it's the decline and fall of Empire America.
And I think we're going to see a many police and military actually join the people.
Well, you know, there's that one group, and then there's the other group. You know, that you when you look at undeveloped countries, and we're an undeveloping nation at this point, you know, the police and the federales are the most corrupt among anyone. So, you know, we could have that core in there, too. We don't know.
Absolutely. Okay, a few final questions, and I want to get to the phone calls. Staged terror. You just mentioned false flag. We see government stage terror attacks when they're imploding economies to subconsciously, at a primitive tribal level, get the people to rally around the government who will pose as their saviors. So we see these government make work jobs. This isn't like Roosevelt with building dams or building highway rest stops. They're saying Green Corps, million man tattletale force, million man domestic spy force. I mean, this is openly being announced. So can you speak to false flags, and then of course the type of make work that Obama's promising?
Well, the false flags. Remember the Maine. I mean, the Lusitania. I mean, there's a report out now, of course, that the Lusitania indeed was filled with armaments that they were bringing over, using people as human shields to bring those over. And, of course, the Lusitania was one of the sparks that brought the U.S. into World War One, which was, by the way, the most avoidable major war in modern history, fought by, you know, brought about by fools and failing monarchies. And so we have, and then of course, do I have the Gulf of Tonkin incident that never happened the way they said it did? So there's one after another. We don't know what they will be, but we believe, given the track record of what they've done in the past, there's no reason to rule out that they won't do it in the future. And again, we're fighting a war right now for reasons that are patently false.
Gerald Salente, how do you see the attack on the web unfolding? You know, they've announced in documents put out by Internet, too, that private corporations and the government are going to take over the Internet, kill the old web, basically, and then force you onto a new Internet where you have subdomains under their sites where you have no free speech, and they can ban you or edit you or restrict you at will, like YouTube and MySpace do when you have a sub-account. Now Obama has announced he's going with that in the name of innovation. He's created a new private council of the IT heads and owners of the companies to work together, and they have the Violent Radicalization Act in Congress where they say 9/11 Truth works with Al-Qaeda and that they are going to ban these groups on the web, and we're now seeing massive censorship of our work all over the Internet, Infowars.com, PrisonPlanet.com, banned in libraries, government Wi-Fi systems. How do you see that unfolding?
Well, just before I jump into that, because another thought came to my mind on the false flag issue, and the false flag will probably be, we believe it'll be a Middle East and Iran being the most likely target. That would be where we would put our money on, and also something oil-related. On the Obama issue, net neutrality, it's going to be a very difficult one to control, because there's a whole cadre of people out there that are internet patriots that are going to do anything that they can not to make this happen, and of course it's the one card, the freedom of the internet, it's the major card, I would say, that could help free us from a global dictatorship. It's going to be a fight to the finish for the government to regulate the web, we believe.
Gerald Celente, projecting forward with all the trends and your amazing track record of being accurate, are you saying humanity will defeat the New World Order? And when will that come? In 1213, 1214?
We believe that we're on the verge of a renaissance. And as I was mentioning earlier, we're the only country where we really do have this innovative freedom. Now, I'm of Italian descent. If I was born in Italy, I would not be the trend forecaster I am. I would have been too locked in to cultural norms and mores. We have that spirit. What's happening is, as you aptly point out, this globalization movement, this bigger is better, and as we know what's going on with the government, with this whole banking system, and as we saw from taped reports, when they got this bailout money, the banks were buying up smaller banks. So they're going to create a national banking system with maybe three or four majors running it. On the other hand, we have breakdowns of businesses that their whole model, Alex, for instance, a Dick's Sporting Goods or any of these kind of big chains, Macy's, they're built upon Starbucks, they're built upon growth and expansion rather than, more so I should say, than increasing in-store sales.
And an innovation. Well, I mean, bottom line here, people think that the New World Order is invincible. Christians thought that Hitler was the Antichrist in Europe, and so they laid down to him. And I'm a Christian, but modern Christians have been told, lay down to corruption, lay down to the chip, lay down to Big Brother, because it's invincible, it's foretold. Regardless, folks, we have a duty to fight corruption. Duty is ours, consequence belongs to God. And I'm telling you, these dinosaurs of the New World Order are rotten and can be defeated if people will just get up off their backsides and realize that they don't have a choice. And I think with all this pain coming, in a way, it's going to be a good thing because it's going to force people to finally grow up and face reality. What do you say to that? And then we're going to calls.
Well, I agree. Something old is dying and ugly and corrupt that deserves to die. As I said, what's bad for Wall Street is wonderful for Main Street. They killed this country. They killed our communities. They were the ones that funded these huge, ugly developments, not only in...
Madoff is at the top of Wall Street. I mean, they're all a pack of crooks at the top. Let's take some calls. Ben in Virginia, you're on the air with legendary trends forecaster Gerald Celente. Ben, go ahead in Virginia.
Hey, how you doing? I love the show, Alex. I just wanted to ask where he thought banks like the Free Lakota Bank is going to play out in this new conflict, because the Lakota have actually started their own gold-based currency bank.
I think gold banks that come out and say that their assets, your deposits, are backed by gold are going to be one of the biggest businesses that anybody could ever imagine. And because by the way, here's a scenario that we're also relative to banks. We believe that being that they're putting the mantle of FDR on Obama, it is very highly probable that they're going to call a bank holiday, as FDR did also after he was inaugurated.
Is that the surprise? Is that the surprise? Biden saying that on the 21st or 22nd, Obama's going to do something next month that people aren't going to like?
It could very well be, because there's going to we believe that the banking system cannot sustain itself in its current form the way things are going now.
And a bank holiday, for those that don't know, means you can't get your money out and then they devalue your money.
Yeah, and I love the words they use, holiday. Let's have a holiday.
The Patriot
Act, nice thing,
the New Freedom Initiative, Homeland Security USA, the Fatherland. Anything else, Ben?
No, that's just about it. I just think that this Free Lakota Bank is going to be huge.
All right, Darren in Maryland, you're on the air with Gerald Celente.
God bless you, gentlemen. How do you see it playing out for those of us who are on state pensions or Social Security?
Well, it's going to be difficult. And as Alex said, when they close banks, they devalue currencies. So what you have going on here is that they're talking about a decline in commodity prices and how inexpensive things are becoming, and that's very true. But guess what? Your dollar is going to buy a lot less. Just in the last 2 weeks, the dollar's gone from against the euro, about 125 against the euro about 2 weeks ago, to today it's around 143. The dollar's tanking. The whole world knows what's going on. the United States, they're not printing money. I mean, this is just digital money. So, yeah, it's going to be very difficult for everyone.
Absolutely.
What's going to happen with food production?
With food? One of the trends that we're putting in the Trends Journal, we're calling it, the old victory gardens that they had during World War II. People are going to start ripping up their useless lawns, you know, the growing grass that you can't eat or smoke, you know.
Now, the problem is the current delivery system for big agribusiness is going to break down, and people are rapidly already converting to more locally grown produce, as Gerald Salente has written about. Thank you, Darren. Mark in Oregon, trying to get to everybody here. Mark in Oregon, you're on the air.
Yeah, how do, gentlemen? I wanted to ask Gerald. Gerald, have you any idea of the actual number of Patriot militias that are in the United States? And what will be the flashpoints which will bring these militias into the fray?
I have no idea how many there are. I think the flashpoint would be an atrocity that would be committed by the redcoats, you could call them at this point.
More Wacos.
Yeah, it's something bigger. You know, we're Wacos was the kind of thing where people wrote them off as a sect, so, you know, they just...
Yeah, troops being overrun by protesters, getting scared, gunning down a crowd, something bigger than...
Yeah, that kind of thing.
Yeah,
you know,
something bigger than Kent State. And then I wouldn't even say so much the militia. Most of those that are big have been infiltrated, are being watched closely, usually led by feds. It's the groups you don't hear about. It's the hunting club. It's going to be those guys. And then they're going to probably go out and target police and military that aren't even part of the larger operations, and then that's going to accelerate the crisis. Gerald Salente, stay right there. I know you're a very busy guy, but I want to be able to take a few more calls. Can you stay with us till 5 after next hour, another 10 minutes?
Sure.
Okay, great. And then Tex Mars is in studio with us, ladies and gentlemen, for the last hour and 52 minutes, continuing with your phone calls today. Stay there, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to come back to Mike and then Mark and Ron and others. I tell you, time really flies when you're fighting the New World Order. Gerald Salente is our guest for another 10 minutes. Then we have a very special guest in studio coming up, Tex Mars. Gerald, I want to go back to as many of the calls as we can, but I had one other question for you dealing with all of this. Again, a lot of people are looking forward to having shooting wars with the police and military. And I believe the globalists actually are looking forward to that because then that will destroy confidence further, and then they can consolidate the economy even more. But when the police are out confiscating guns and arresting people and shooting the public and the military is doing that, what do they expect? I mean, I know I'm not relishing this. I know you're not relishing this. And I wonder what the rules of engagement for the American people should be through all of this.
Well, I think you hit upon one before when we were talking about who will be the first likely groups, who will fire the first shots, who will protest. And what we saw in Chicago with those workers refusing to leave, I think we're going to see more of that kind of thing, where people are just going to say, no, I have nowhere else to go. I'm staying here.
And hothead cops are going to come in and crack their skulls, and it's going to start.
Exactly. And as I said, if it becomes something that's overtly brutal, look what happened with Katrina. I mean, look how it was covered up for so long. I mean, people forget how for days, you know, they kept saying that things were under control. And, you know, then when it came to seeing how inefficient and uncaring the government was, the outrage set in. I think we're going to see the same kind of thing happen.
Well, that was actually a cold-blooded laboratory where they shut off the power and the water, jammed the police radios, cut their lines, and the local parish in New Orleans had to come with guns and literally, at gunpoint, take FEMA off of the command centers that they were hijacking and cutting the lines because FEMA wanted it to be a disaster to get more funds. I mean, that's how cold-blooded these people are, and I agree with you. That's what's going to happen here. Let's talk to Mike in Wyoming. You're on the air with Gerald Salente.
Hello?
Yes, Mike, go ahead.
Yeah, hi, how you guys doing?
Good.
Mr. Salente, it sounds like to me that you believe that we will avoid the sort of technocratic Orwellian nightmare that a lot of people think may come down the pipe here pretty soon. It also sounds like you also believe that we will avoid a Mad Max post-apocalyptic type of scenario, and we're going to go back to more of this sort of regionalism you were talking about, and you know, locally community-based you know, lifestyle. And I guess I'm wondering, do you see the United States maintaining its territorial integrity?
You know,
are we going to just, you know, go into sort of like a factionalism?
I think we're going to go into a factionalism. And again, you know, the Mad Max scenario and the techno takeover, they may happen. You know, we're not ruling that out completely. But what we're saying, for instance, on the techno level is that, you know, there's too many independent people out there that are more skilled technologically than the government people are in a lot of ways. And there are more of them that could break down the systems of control. I mean, that's a possibility. And as the Mad Max, it may turn into that in different parts of the country. It may look like that.
And by the way, the globalists have said they would like to use the crisis to break the country up. So we have to watch out for false revolutions and false revolutionary leaders that actually call for that. I do not want to break the United States up. They've got top Russian people projecting that that's going to happen. The Pentagon's projecting that could happen. We don't want to let the U.S. be broken up like China was 150 years ago by the European powers. Gerald, do you agree?
I think we're going to look more like when Russia broke up after communism.
More where the states start ruling themselves again. There's still a central government, but it implodes.
Exactly.
All right, stay there. Final segment with Gerald Celente. Back in 70 seconds. Stay with us.
Big Brother. Mainstream media. Government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
We'll be live at PrisonPlanet.tv in T-minus 8 minutes for all the viewers watching live at PrisonPlanet.tv. Final 5 minutes with Gerald Celente. I want to thank him for coming on. Go to his website, TrendsResearch.com. You should subscribe to his Trends Report that comes out. How often does that Trends Report come out, Gerald?
Well, the Trends Journal is a quarterly, and this issue, by the way, it's bigger than we've ever written before. It's, you know, it's 20 pages of trends that are in the making. But what we also do, and I want to make this very clear, is that we provide profit opportunities. Because, you know, we look at the trend and say, here's the dangers, here are the opportunities. Because during this time of destruction, there's going to be, there may well not be these huge mega millionaires and billionaires, but people are going to be able to make very healthy livings during these times. And again, it's going to be, we think, with the breakup of the too big to fails at many levels, particularly retail, there's going to be a lot of entrepreneurial opportunities. And then what we do is we come out with trend alerts on a need-to-know basis.
All right, folks should check that out. We also have links up on Infowars.com to your fine site. Let's go a little bit closer to home for you, Gerald. Matt in New York, you're on the air, Matt.
Hi, Alex. Hi, Gerald. This is Matt from MobilizeThePeople.com. First of all, I want to commend both of you doing an outstanding job. Gerald, very important work. Alex, very important you getting it across to the people as well as helping Gerald get it out. When the elected officials of the people fail to do the bidding on behalf of the people must mobilize. Gerald, I have a question for you. Have you done any trending on the mass acceleration and growth of the Patriot Movement groups and the role they will play out in the future?
Not on that particularly. As I said, what we have been looking at closely are these secessionist movements, and we see those growing as well. The people won't be mobilized until it hurts them in their pocketbook, their heart, they're cold and they're hungry.
Yeah, when their stomachs are empty, look out. Appreciate the call. Moving fast. Ron in Arizona, you're on the air with Gerald Celente. Go ahead.
Gerald, good afternoon, Gerald and Alex and your 2 million listeners. I believe that the New World Order gang is putting clues into movies about future false flags. I'll give you two examples. 1996, the movie Enemy of the State. The character played by Gene Hackman hacks into the NSA database to find the info on the John Voight.
And his birthday's 9/11, and Fox ran the lone gunman where the government hijacks planes to fly in the World Trade Center for martial law and to attack Afghanistan 6 months before. And the long kiss goodnight where the government bombs the World Trade Center in 93 and then wants to bomb it again for martial law. Yeah, hundreds of... Gerald, why do they put this in movies? We know there's propaganda placement by the government in media. Why do we see them loving to flaunt what they're going to do beforehand?
Well, I would assume, and I don't know, you know, but I would say to get the people prepared for it, get prepared for the worst. So when somebody relates to a Mad Max, they know what it looks like and see how ugly it is. So, you know, again, look what the movies did during the World War II. I mean, you know, the propaganda, you know, not negative propaganda, maybe some yes, maybe no.
Notice there was all this war propaganda right before 9/11, all these big movies. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, as I said, you know, 9/11 came as no surprise to us. We'd been predicting a major terrorist strike against the United States. So, again, though, but I don't think that's the major flag. And people forget things as well. When there's chaos, anything that they did before to control people, it really all breaks down immediately.
Absolutely. Well, we're going into very interesting times. Thank you, Ron. Sorry to the other callers. You can hold and talk to our next guest if you like. Gerald Celente, thank you for spending so much time with us, and I look forward to talking to you next year as all this unfolds.
Well, thank you so much for having me on.
An amazing individual. We'll have him back on for a full show about solutions next time he joins us. All right, there goes Gerald Celente. Don't forget, I'm Alex Jones, live here Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. Even if you don't have a local AM or FM in your area, you can always listen for free at InfoWars.com and the daily free podcast at InfoWars.com.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome and thank you for joining us. We're live at PrisonPlanet.tv, streaming over the web for PrisonPlanet.tv members, going out, of course, on the free streams at InfoWars.com, audio-wise, and simulcast on Global Shortwave and over 70 AM and FM affiliates, as well as satellite. And to answer a few questions, we're beta testing the studio right now. We're also building a TV studio here in the building. You know, it took us a couple months to find a building when I announced I was going to do this 6 months ago. Then a few months to get moved in, build the studios. We're almost done with that. Then we are going to start editing it down to, I believe, two different TV shows a week. One in here radio style with the highlights of the guests and information we cover here throughout the week. And then another one in there in the main TV studio. And that'll take us a few months to get that honed down and then start editing those and putting them together for air on Dish Network or DirecTV. We're talking to both groups about the best channel to air it on. And the least expensive price, obviously we're going to have to be paying for that, but it's inexpensive compared to what some people might have thought. So we're developing all of this, and that is what is unfolding right now. This is our third official transmission out of the studios, and 3.5 years ago when I moved into my old tiny pocket studio office of about 2,500 square feet with about 10 people in it, we're now in an 8,000-square-foot building. The first guy who was our guest in studio was Tex Mars. And then we just now noticed, we had to put two and two together, that our first guest in the new studio, so he's kind of like the bottle of champagne we bash on the front of the ship. We have Tex by a rope swinging him into the new studio. And so for the next hour and 50 minutes, we are joined in studio to talk about a host of issues. My good buddy, Tex Mars. Tex, good to see you here with us.
Hey, Alex. It's great to be with you in the studio, too. You know, it's important. You're the only one out there with the means, the brains, and the people, the listeners, the audience. And I know that from all the emails I get every time I'm on with you. And let me tell you something. We're in big, big trouble. And, you know, I decided to come today. You were very kind to invite me. And I want to tell people out there what they're going to hear today is going to be unvarnished. It's going to be truthful. And we're not going to cut any corners, and we're not going to say, well, we better not say this. We'll get somebody angry at us, or we'll get audited, or whatever is the case. I am ready to pull out all the stops now. And let me tell you, I'm known as a pretty nice guy, but I'm pretty angry. I'm frustrated, and I'm upset. And I want to save America, and I want to save our Constitution, and we've got to do something. And if I sound like an angry man, well, I am, but I'm angry because I'm indignant.
Well, seeing the destruction of your beloved republic, you know, you were an Air Force officer, patriot, like everybody else, you love this country, and you've been telling people the systematic destruction, and now we see this group of scam artists run by people like Madoff stealing tens of trillions of dollars, and they are saying if we don't like it, they'll just sick the military on us.
Well, they are going to sick the military on us. That is their plan. That's why they've got U.S. Army forces now stationed in America that have, you know, they're not just ready. They're not using this as staging grounds, as preparation like we've done for over 200 years. But they're ready to take on the American people now. And they believe there's going to be a significant number of American citizens angry enough to take up arms, just like is happening now in Greece and in some other areas of the world. Now, I believe we have to be smart about what we do things and not fall into the ditch here. But the first thing to do is to educate people. They've got to know what is really going on. And Alex, listen, this is engineered chaos. Engineered chaos. This isn't something that just suddenly happened. It wasn't just a few banks, Citibank, Bear Stearns, Lehman Brothers. This is an engineered event. They are in reinventing the world. They're regenerating a Leninist Marxist paradise, and we're going to be the victims. This is what happened during the French Revolution with the Illuminati. It's what happened in Russia with the Sovietization. This is the Sovietization of America. If you read 1984 by Orwell, if you read Gulag Archipelago by Solzhenitsyn, this is it. We're in the midst of it. And I believe we're only about 9 months from a total collapse of the economy. And listen, I did a program on my own shortwave frequency yesterday, and I entitled it, I Smell War. And there is a specter that looms now, Alex, of a savage 2009-2010. So we're facing a great war. We're facing bloodshed and death, and we're facing the end of American sovereignty, and all of these things are interrelated at once.
Well, I want to be nuanced about this. People hear us talk about international communist conspiracies, Marxist, Leninist, you know, Sovietization, and they think of Russia. They don't understand that the big New York and London banks want to enslave the population, and they call feudalism communism, saying it's a workers' paradise when it's really giant death camps and GRU arresting people. And they don't understand that it was in the New York Times in the 30s, when they thought the public wanted it, that they were going to merge Russia and the United States and bring in this big socialist system run by the central banks. They socialize with medicine and your payment and your labor, so they have full control over you, so there's no private property in the general public's hands, only in the hands of the super elite. So this isn't the classic communist conspiracy. That's why people like McCarthy were useful until he found out, oh, the army's running communism. Oh, the CFR. And then they shut him down. When it was just a communist conspiracy, they liked him because it was being used to destroy the First Amendment and go after Americans and go after the left. But as soon as he found out, wait a minute, banks are funding this, which has now come out was totally true. I mean, it's now right. Mainstream news that Mao was put in 49 by the CIA.
Sure, and Warburg and the other Wall Street bankers sent Leon Bronstein, renamed him Trotsky, and sent he and Lenin into Moscow, into Russia in 1917 to lead a revolution. So what I want people to understand is this. You know, Time magazine just made Barack Obama man of the year, or person of the year, as they call it now. But there was an interesting statement inside the magazine, and all of their hero worship, calling him almost the new Messiah. They basically said there is no such thing now as a Republican Party or a Democrat Party. There's only Obama. Now, this is what happened back in Nazi Germany. You see, they had political parties. They had elections. And suddenly, there were no political parties. There was only Hitler. The same thing goes for the Duma, the parliament of Russia. You know, they had political parties. They had candidates for the Duma as well as the Tsar. But suddenly, there was only Vladimir Lenin. So we've got a situation here. What I want people to know is this. This is a very interesting thing. There is the Hegelian dialectic process that has been going on now for 100 years, but it's been escalating in our generation. And Alex, listen to this. You said this is not classical communism. You know, I was making some notes, and I looked at it, and let me explain something to people. The Illuminati elite, the Wall Street bankers and their friends, they are very flexible. They are pragmatic, and they have experimented for decades, okay, this entire century, on how they can bring this process to its final conclusion, ordo ab chao. That's the 33rd degree of Freemasonry. Look at the systems that they're using. They use Masonism. They use Zionism. They use Nazism. They use capitalism, but it's an unbridled cartelism, basically, okay?
Monopoly.
Monopolistic. They use fascism. They use socialism, but they give it the euphemism of democracy.
Anything that has vertical integration.
Absolutely. The isms are there. Jesuitism. But basically, they have put all of these systems together, even the classical communism of Lenin, Trotsky, and Marx. They have put all these things in an entirely new form, okay, an entirely new form to create a global new world order. I can only really best frame it and call it neo-fascism. By the way, of course, even conservatism was perverted and turned into neo-conservatism.
Well, what they did is before the British Empire created all these fake political terms so they could give us false choices where they mm-hmm. controlled like a sock puppet every one of the little apparatus or the little mechanisms. Before, it was just liberty versus tyranny. It was property rights and local control and elected councils and grand juries in our common law system. And then it wasn't liberal or conservative. So they came in and created a whole false new vocabulary mm-hmm. to confuse the whole issue.
Well, they did. You know, Rockefeller, if you look back at Rockefeller, who founded Standard Oil and really had a monopoly in the oil business, back at the beginning of the 20th century, people called him a capitalist. But he was not going to brook any opposition. He didn't want any other oil companies to be formed. He wanted a total monopoly of Standard Oil Company. So what we have here is not capitalism. It's not the opposite. It's not communism. It's some kind of a hydra-headed monster. And I want to just say, let's just call it neo, because it's new. It's an entire new thing, neo-fascism. Now, what they
neo-control freakism.
Yeah, well, neo-control.
Neo-dehumanization.
There are two things.
Technological enslavement grid.
That's right. There are two things, though, we have to understand they oppose, that we must be for, because they're the only sane alternative for you and I and all our listeners.
All right, Tex, we got a break. Let's come back with those two key things that they oppose. Right here on the GCN Radio Network, and your phone calls are coming up later in the hour at 1-800-259-9231. This is PrisonPlanet.tv and the GCN Radio Network. My website's Infowars.com. Stay with us. World government is upon us. The enemy is sending up trial balloons in hundreds of the most prestigious papers from Japan to Germany to England, the United States, Australia. They're saying world government is the answer to the world crisis when publicly the very central banks that are announcing they're going to be world government are the ones that engineered all of this. Professor of Space and Aeronautics, former Air Force captain, best-selling author many times over, New York Times bestseller, Tex Mars is with us, and we'll go over some of his books and websites as well and take your phone calls. So, Tex, this is not classical communism. This is an integration and a mix of all of these systems, please continue with the two things they're attacking that we have to stand for.
It can be confusing if people, you see, they want us to fight. They want the left to fight the right wing, and they want the Republicans versus the Democrats. They want working people versus the more wealthy. This is what they do. They break us into these little groups, you see, and there is planned chaos. There's planned dissension. There's always friction in this Hegelian dialectic process. And what it should be called, really, is the alchemical processing of humanity. They're reinventing the United States and the world. Now, the first thing to do, Alex, okay, this is literally been carefully engineered and planned meticulously. First, you must destabilize and destructure the world. All right? In other words, you've got to push Humpty Dumpty off the wall. You got to crack the egg. And after it's cracked, okay, and you've got chaos, then you can put Humpty Dumpty back together again. Now, the two things that I wanted to mention to people that are the enemy of the Illuminati elite. First is individualism. The right for you to be you, an individual. They hate that. They're collectivists. And this is true of National Socialism, which is what Nazis were. It was true of communism. They hate individualism. You to be you. Now, the second thing they hate is personal freedom to be an individual. And our Constitution, you see, provided for these things originally, for the individual to have personal freedom and for the state to be unable to strip it from us. So it's necessary for these people to totally destabilize, destroy America, the entire American system and way of thinking.
And I want to go back to the key, giving us false choices. Instead of a debate of liberty versus tyranny,
right,
freedom versus slavery, they make it, well, you can have the Republican fascism, you can have the Obama socialism, communism, but when you study the two, face scanning cameras, police in black ski masks, high levels of taxes, juries being abolished from Russia to England to Canada, they're trying to get rid of them. It's all the same system, and even in Russia and in Japan, or in Australia or the U.S., the social service programs all have even the same names.
We just have gone through a ridiculous two-year election process. What did we end up with? Obama, who was supposedly, according to the media, at loggerheads with Hillary Rodham Clinton, appointing her as Secretary of State. What did we have? A man who said, I'll get you out of the Iraq War, appointing George W. Bush's Secretary of Defense to be his Secretary of Defense. The old guard is still the new guard. There is no change whatsoever. There will never be with the Illuminati elite that are now controlling America. Now, Alex, what I want people to understand is this is planned. It's an engineered chaos. You know, Gorbachev is one of these people. Gorbachev, the guy that supposedly brought glasnost and freedom to Russia. But wait, you know, I've read Gorbachev's book, Perestroika. Perestroika is a Russian word meaning a new way of thinking. In fact, a revision. It's the repair of the world. But first you must break something before you can fix it. Now, that's alien to our way of thinking. You see.
And that's why we hear under the new environmental laws, they're saying the old way is going away. You're going to have austerity.
Right.
You're going to have feudalism. The change is we are going to lose our free market.
And Obama's blaming the banker. We are the change.
And we are
the change. He expects us. He is going to demand sacrifice from every American, everyone in the world, and we are going to make the changes, okay, under his Messiah leadership. Now, Obama, of course, and Rahm the Cruel, that's what I call him, that's a good name for him, Rahm the Cruel Emmanuel, are the two chosen saviors of the world. And they are the working engineers. They are up in the engine room of the train driving this thing, but they have others more powerful than them behind the scenes. But I want people to understand, in the Jewish Kabbalah, they have a term for this. It's called Tikkun Olam. Tikkun Olam.
All right, stay there, Tex. We've got a break. We're going to come back and get into all of that with our guest, Tex Mars, in studio, and take your calls at 1-800-259-9031. Also want to get into how he sees all this breaking down and unfolding. Stay with us.
He's pounding down, loaded up and trucking. Are we going to do what they say can be done? We've got a long way to go and a short time to get there. I'm eastbound just like no bandit run. Keep your foot hard on the pedal, son, never mind them brakes. Let it all hang out, cause we got a run to make. The boys are thirsty in Atlanta, and there's beer in Texarkana.
Tex Mars is our guest in studio here in Austin, Texas. We're going into very horrific times. The New World Order crowd that gave you Nazism, communism, publicly funded the Maoist, they are now looking to break down the United States, to re-engineer it, and break the back of the American people, the people of the West, to teach us to love world government. It's just asinine to have the mainstream, mainline media telling us the bankers are going to save us when they're the ones that have engineered this and openly saying world government of and by the international banking cartels. Now, Texas, we got cut off by the break. You were getting into a form of Kabbalah that speaks of this fusion. And then let's get into what this is going to look like, how this is going to unfold, and how we fight back against it, because it's going to be as unpopular as jumping off a cliff with people. And I don't think it's going to go the same way it did in China or Russia, because we have a history of rebellion and we are armed and we still have our Protestant ethic.
Okay, it's going to be a process, this alchemical processing of humanity, pressing them into this new world order. Yes, the Jewish Kabbalah, of course, has its system called Tikkun Olam. They're creating, reinventing the world and pressing it into a new Zionist paradise. At the same time, though, the communists, the socialists, as Gorbachev expressed in his book Perestroika, they're also bringing forth this same thing. Now, if you go back to the French Revolution, they talked about change constantly. Change was the catchword for the Illuminati, who brought out the guillotine and actually intended to massacre, to have genocide of almost the mass population of France and the whole world. And they said, they kept saying perpetually,
that was a false revolution. They admitted it was an occult. They wanted a 10-day work week. They openly wanted to worship occult gods.
Environmentalism, the whole bit.
Going back to nature,
they claimed. And they kept saying, we will reinvent the world, but first we must destroy the world. You must destroy it first, destabilize, destructure, bring men back to a state of nature, and then you can build them. Now, Alex, you have studied this for years. What has happened in the CIA, the Mossad, the Canadian Intelligence Services, this MK Ultra program, the Monarch program, okay? What they attempted to do, with some moderate success, was to use a means, okay, a processing. Did they not torture people? Did they not put them in sensory deprivation tanks? They used shock treatment, literal electric shock treatment. They used torture. They used women. They would rape them. They would beat people. They broke down their minds. And what they said was, these Dr. Ewan Cameron and these other CIA psychiatrists, these monsters, these terror people who were doing this in these secret psychological programs.
Oh, the Associated Press admitted that Camp X-Ray wasn't even really one of the real camps. The black sites, the ghost sites, are in Europe, in Eastern Europe, and the Middle East, of all places. They said that it was a laboratory for interrogation, and they would have the women come in menstruating and rape the men. They would do satanic ceremonies. This was in the news.
Oh, yeah.
But they said just to freak out the Muslims. No, this is what they like. Why would they rape children, according to General Tagumbu's own Army report, U.S. Army report? They would rape people with large objects dripping with acid. They would torture their children in front of them. Again, this is about creating these wicked, murdering cadres. That's why they wouldn't take real al-Qaeda, al-CIA, to the camps. They would take young people, innocent people from Iraq and Afghanistan and Europe and the U.S. there, because it was really about testing and creating these cadres. That's why they brought innocent people there to be tortured.
And this has been a process, especially since 1949. We can go back to Vietnam. They had Operation Phoenix. And they put prisoners in tiger cages and torture them and so forth. Now, here is the reason for this. It was theorized by the CIA psychiatrist that they could create Manchurian candidates. They could create really mind control slaves by first destroying a person's mind. And after they destroyed the mine, then they could build it back piece by piece.
And this is all declassified. What you're saying came out in congressional hearings with That's Jolly right. and West and Ewing Cameron, and they would Absolutely. Grab foster children in the U.S. and be able, with PCP and LSD and shock therapy, within a year to create a complete mind control slave.
That's right. Now, what they did then was to first destroy the mine. Now, keep that in mind. And then they would build the person back again, a personality that they could control, a mind control slave.
Well, the Germans, of the Illuminati. The Germans 200 years ago in Prussia first developed this in the modern sense with the shaving the head, sleep deprivation of the troops, the goose stepping, which is very painful long mm-hmm. distances, to literally break them down into automatons. So that's another form of mind control.
Now, I want you to think of this. They first did this to the individual. Now we have the application, okay? We have the application to the entire world and to the United States.
Mass mind control.
Mass mind control.
The whole world is a prison.
It is a form of shock therapy. How do you shock people into a new system?
That's what the IMF calls its economic reforms.
That's right.
Shock therapy.
Shock therapy. First, they did it with individuals. So now they're going to do it with the United States. What must happen to the United States? It must be broken down. It must be disorganized, destructured, destabilized. People must be totally brought down to third world status, and they must become desperate. Now, remember what Vicente Fox said on the Larry King Show, the former president of Mexico. A person called in and said, hey, are we really going to have a North American Union and an AMERO? Are we going to bring these three countries together? Are we going to get rid of the U.S. greenback? And Vicente Fox says, yes, that's a little bit later, but that's coming. Now, Larry King on CNN said to President Fox, he says, well, do you think the American people will really stand for that? What was Fox's response? This was only a year ago or so, year and a half ago. Fox, who's part of this whole process, the Illuminati Network, Vicente Fox said this, oh, well, right now they wouldn't stand for it. But wait, in a few years, they'll be crying out for the AMERO from their economic misery. They'll be crying out for it. First, they must be broken down. They must be destructured and destabilized. Now, this is what they've done to Iraq. They never meant to rebuild Iraq again.
They were tearing it down.
They were tearing it down.
To forced inoculation, CPS, only GMO food crops are allowed to be planted under law. They're making it into the modern system. Same thing with Serbia, bombing
Absolutely.
It, overthrowing it. Same thing with Afghanistan. And now America's the big target. Now it's our turn. Everything we've seen with the police state so far and the breaking up of the families was only preparatory to put the capstone on, and the capstone is mass murder, FEMA camps, starvation. That's why they're bringing in this mega crisis. Now, I want to get into where this mega crisis is going with you, Tex, and
right.
I totally agree with your excellent analysis that you're even expanding on here. I want to go back because, you know, I come on air and I criticize Israel for the horrible, corrupt things they do. Mm-hmm. And I also criticize Egypt and Germany and England and Russia, because all these countries are run by the same wicked mindset and system. How do we explain to people that, you know, at the top, Prince Philip and Prince Bernhard are Nazis. They hate black people in their writings. You know, they hate Jews. We have Madoff, formerly running the stock exchange in New York, ripping off mainly Jewish charities. And he's a Jewish guy.
Yeah.
And we always see the Zionists who actually helped put Hitler in power. That's now been declassified in major university books written by Jews are out on it. It's a big deal. You know, we knew about that decades ago, but now it's mainstream news. And where Hitler wanted to let all the Jews out, and he was a bad guy, but we're saying he wanted to get them all out. And the Zionists said, no, make them pay us $1 million apiece and only send them to Palestine. And mm-hmm. so that's why they lobbied Roosevelt to not let Jews come into America. But then Jews love Roosevelt. Or we have the Zionists getting billions of dollars from the U.S. from 53 to 63 for the ringworm children to radiate and kill the Sephardic Jewish children. So, again, it's this fusion. When you get to the top of the New World Order, it's weird Kabbalah. And I remember you over a decade ago saying Madonna was doing rituals. It was Kabbalistic. Mm-hmm. You wrote articles about it in your newsletter.
Sure.
And then now she admits, oh, I've been doing Kabbalah for decades on stage. And she now admits that's what it is. You could see the ritual, but she's not Jewish. So explain this. How do you, because of my own research, when you get to the highest levels, it's the Teutonic Knights. It's this Holy Grail, Merovingian, Nazi idea. So that's what Jordan Maxwell calls it, is Nazi Zionist and then Jewish Zionist. And you know, our whole society, King Solomon, the Masons, you know, they're mainly white guys, but that's Kabbalic. So explaining this is a system, not even so much as it is about the Jews, but why do we always see the top Jews actually working to kill and enslave Jews while posing that they're for Jews?
Many Jews, because of the nature of their culture and their society, have basically been trained in these methods through their Jewish Talmud, through their Kabbalah, which is a system of Jewish magic. Albert Pike, former sovereign grand commander of Freemasonry.
Founder of the Klan, was a follower.
Pike actually was one of the founders of the Klan. And his statue, by the way, honoring Albert Pike, founder of the Ku Klux Klan, it stands in front of the U.S. Justice Department building in Washington, D.C.
We videotaped it when we were in D.C. a
right?
few months ago. And you notice,
amazing.
You don't hear Jesse Jackson saying, take that down.
Oh, no, Jesse Jackson's not going to say. This is the guy founded the Ku Klux Klan, and a statue is in front of the U.S. Justice Department building.
But he founds the Klan, but he's a Kabbalah follower.
That's right. And he also,
you know, Solomon's
Keys. He was also involved in the assassination of Abraham Lincoln, and he fled to Canada and then was pardoned by a Freemason president, Andrew Johnson. And that was the reason for his impeachment, by the way, the first president to be impeached right after Lincoln was assassinated, Andrew Johnson, a 33rd degree Mason. Now, you ask about the Jews. Now, what we have to understand is their system is disposed for this. Not all the Jews, of course. There are many secular Jews. There are many that don't even know what we're talking
about.
The
system,
they laugh about this, and they should.
So our original foundation of everything is the Torah, the Christian basis, our laws. That's good. They go into Babylonian captivity. So the modern system that the Nazis and everybody else adopt, whether it's Jewish or not, is that Babylonian mystery school taken through the
Babylonian I wrote this book, Mysterious Monuments. I'm not trying to promote my book.
I hope you
program.
Do. I sell it at Infowars.com. We need funding. I hope, but plus it's a great book. People need to get it.
Well, here's the thing about, and by the way, it's over 600 pages, huge format. One of the sections in it is entitled Rothschild's Legacy or Unholy Legacy in the Holy Land. Now, I want you to think about this, Alex. You know, in the Old Testament, God told the Jews, come out of Egypt, right? But what is Egypt? What is the architecture that we see, which, by the way, is very symbolic and points all the way back to the ancient mystery religion of Babylon? It's pyramids. It's obelisks. Now, if you go to Israel today, you will see objects placed there by the Rothschilds, the richest Illuminati dynasty in the world.
Who funded Hitler.
Absolutely. You will see, for example, at Hebrew University, right in the courtyard, and I have a picture of it in this book, you will see a pyramid. If you go to Eilat, Israel, which is, you know, when you're coming from Egypt into Israel, you enter in, they actually have a boulevard. I have a picture of that boulevard.
And again, Hitler was into this too, so it doesn't matter.
Yeah, the ancient mystery religion, the pyramid, you have the obelisk.
So what we're saying is the elites follow this no matter what color or surface religion they are.
They're going to use Zionism as a tool, just like they will use Jesuitism of the Vatican.
Well, that's what Pike said. Pike said.
Right? And they will misuse capitalism. Okay? They will use all these systems, you see. And Zionism has created this system in which they are abusing, okay, in any concepts of holiness that we find in the Old Testament. And they will use this then to grip hold of the head, you might say the hair, or the scalp, of the world. So they will use all of these systems. And it is the Kabbalah and the Talmud are very convenient systems. Here's why. Because they teach that the Jews are the superior race, that they should not marry these inferior goyim. They cannot assimilate.
Now, why is it that
society?
Why is it bad when black nationalists or black Israelites say blacks should only breed with blacks? why is that bad in the media? Or why, when whites say, white supremacists, you know, we should only marry other whites. You know, when there's some Asian extremists who say we should only marry other Asians, why is that all decried and bad? But then our media tells us and never talks about how proselytizing for Christianity is illegal in Israel. And they make foreign, it was in the Associated Press a few years ago, foreign Asian workers in Israel have to sign a pledge to not date Jewish women.
Oh, well, of course, because, for example, one of the so-called charitable education foundations who gave all their money to Madoff, groups like Mortimer Zuckerman, who was editor-in-chief of the U.S. News and World Report, you know, lost $30 million. Look at these Jewish so-called charitable 501c3 education foundations. What kind of education are they involved in? They teach Jewish youth that they are superior race. They are God's chosen. Whatever they do to the Palestinians and the Arabs is okay with God. In fact, they should destroy the Arabs off the face of the earth. They teach them that it is wrong for them to associate with, for example, for their children to marry Gentiles. And if they do, they will disown them. Now, these are racist, bigoted organizations. Now, I want to say something, though. If we put this taint on all Jews, are we not falling into the trap of bigotry ourselves? You see what I'm saying? We have to be very careful here, because I'm personally a Christian. And what did Jesus say? Whosoever will may come. Whosoever will. That includes every race on earth. So there's an opportunity here for a Jew or any other race to be a good person, to be a humanitarian, to be a Christian, to be honest with you.
But my whole point is, just like
Hitler perverted the German nation, just like Lenin, who, by the way, was Jewish, and the Lenin Museum, you know, where his body lies in state, admits now both Lenin and Trotsky were Jews, and Solzhenitsyn, in his book 200 Years Together, exposed the fact that most of the commandants of the Soviet Gulag prison camps were Jews. Now, why is this? I believe they have been alienated from the nations, and they purposely alienated themselves because they said we're superior and we will not be involved. For example, let's take Rahm the Cruel, Emmanuel. The first Persian Gulf War came about. He wanted to be patriotic.
He went and joined the IDF.
Well, he wanted to be patriotic. He was, you know, given all these great things here in America, right? Even finally became a congressman. He was paid over $17 million for 2 years' work on Wall Street with the Wasserstein Group. Now he's going to be the White House Chief of Staff under Barack Obama. He wanted to be patriotic, all right, to Israel. And he went over there and joined the Israeli Defense Forces, the Israeli military. He wasn't patriotic to America. He is a citizen of the nation of Israel. What is he doing as White House Chief of Staff? And by the way, what we have in the United States, I want people to understand this. Obama and Rahm the Cruel Emanuel are two servants or stooges of a Jewish mafia. That's what Chicago's all about. That's what Blagojevich was about. Listen, even Dick Morris, who is Jewish himself, by the way, exposed the fact that it was Obama and Rahm Emanuel who recruited Blagojevich.
I know, and
in Illinois.
Stay there, we got a break.
And made him the governor. To destructure and to destabilize America. The first one is economic.
Okay, we're going back live. Here we go. Tex is so wound up, he's doing a broadcast during the breaks. All right, Tex, I want to get into the military. I want to get into what you see happening in the economy. $8.5 trillion stolen, and the Federal Reserve won't say where it's going. Why you think they're now announcing, yes, it's a world government, yes, tyranny's good, and the Financial Times of London. I mean, actually saying that, this is amazing. And where this whole neo-fascist system, as you were saying, is going.
Well, first of all, people have to understand again that this is engineered chaos. And the first thing that they're doing is to destabilize and to destructure the United States of America. We're the linchpin for the whole world. So what happens here is going to reverberate across this globe. Now, the first thing they've started out with, and by the way, there's been years, decades of preparation for these six important things that we need to look for. The first is economic destabilization. Now, remember the Hegelian process. You've got to have the opposites. You first start off with a crash, a financial meltdown, okay? Economic catastrophe. We're in the midst of that. We're about 4 to 6 months down the pike on that. Here's what has been happening. First of all, America's economy was broken when oil, you know, was shot up by the speculators at Morgan Stanley and Goldman Sachs and such on Wall Street to $147 a barrel, okay? $4 plus a gallon at the pump. They broke the back of the American economy. They drove up the price of real estate to unparalleled heights, gave money out to everybody, credit cards, loans, etc. So there was this incredible inflation. And then suddenly they whipsawed us. Now we have a deleveraging of the economy. We're having a spiral downward, a deflationary process. Okay. Now this cannot last forever because it will drag the elite down with it. Now you and I may like it. I like it. I like gasoline being $1.59. I like the fact they've had to take $10,000 or $15,000 off the price of a new car. I like the fact that finally, after food went up, corn, oats, wheat, everything went up, you know, 100%, suddenly they're back down again. Now, and that's going to be showing up at our food stores. Everything is deflating very fast.
But the experts are saying it's going to go back up again.
Ah, yeah. Now we have the whipsaw, the Hegelian, the other side, okay? And so they've done a great amount of damage. They've created millions of foreclosures. They've driven people out of their homes. They've taken away people's pensions and retirements. They frightened us entirely. And now we're willing to do almost anything to get this economy stable again. The next thing they must do, and they will do, is to reverse the process. And now we're going to begin a period of hyperinflation. Now,
so the real economy is imploding.
It's imploding. It's shrinking.
But meanwhile, there'll be less actual liquidity out there. All the liquidity is for the big central banks so they can buy everything up when it's pennies on the dollar.
Yeah, you mentioned $8.4 trillion. They certainly have spent that. But they've given it to the nine largest banks, Bank of America,
Citibank,
and so forth.
Most of them offshore. Most of them offshore. And they're telling Congress, you have no authority. You're basically under martial law. And they had one of the Fed governors come out in Bloomberg and say that we are now under the War Powers Act. Did you see that?
Well, I can understand. Obama has already said, his people have said, he's going to begin day one. We're talking about January the 20th or January the 21st. He's going to begin with a huge series of executive orders.
And they've said it's going to be very unpopular. Biden said it's going to be very unpopular.
Oh, yeah. People will not like this, but it's necessary to save America. Now, remember, we have this economic destabilization. First, there's this incredible, scary process of price deflation. Suddenly, oil drops, gold drops, everything. And then begins the hyperinflation. Now, how can you begin this process? How can they stop this deflationary spiral?
All right, stay
downwards.
There. We're going to come back in 70 seconds to start the final hour, and we're going to be taking your phone calls coming up in about 10, 15 minutes. Stay with us. Infowars.com. We are live into hour number two of Tex Mars, final fourth hour of this transmission. Getting into all the hard subjects, all the serious issues here. Tex, continuing with what you see happening in the economy, and then being a former military officer yourself, studying, teaching military science at the University of Texas. They've militarized the police. They've brainwashed the military. They've trained them that, well, there's going to be riots, so you've got to shoot at the American people. This is a long-term secret strategic plan to get ready for this that I've covered and you've covered. The FEMA camps, which they denied, now are public. The CFR is openly on TV admitting they basically run the country. This emergence, because they have to get us ready for open world government, because we're now to that point. Now, you were talking about the whipsaw of deflation. Continue.
Well, what we have around the world is companies closing, folding, tens of thousands, millions of people around the world being laid off, all right? And we see every prices of everything going down. The economies are shrinking, contracting. We're having incredible storehouses, warehouses full of food. Okay, full of grains. They can't find customers for. We're having warehouses over in China. Listen, they're afraid. They're afraid in China. They cannot lay off those tens of millions of workers, so they keep them working at those factories, building all these products to ship to Western Europe and the United States. Why? Because if they ever laid off all those people, there'll be revolution over there. But that means that we're going to see that they have all these billions of items of products, okay, from iPods to whatever to clothing and et cetera, from China. They've got to do something with it. Now, if the whole world is imploding, there's only one way to stop the implosion.
Inflate.
To inflate. They've got to start reinflating. Now, they began that with the money. $8.4 trillion. Unprecedented, okay? The $700 billion was just to shock the American people.
And by the way, that's eight
and
point,
have a little charade.
You know, that's $8 plus trillion just in the first 6 weeks. In the last 2 weeks, we haven't gotten any new numbers.
The entire gross product of the United States annually is about $13 trillion.
Well, how could we have gotten to the point where the private bankers tell Congress and the media, we're not going to show you what we're doing? I mean, this is open dictatorship by the foreign banks.
Well, of course. And remember, Rahm Emanuel, House Speaker Nancy Pelosi, thanked him when that $700 billion bailout bill was approved. She said, I want to thank Congressman Emanuel.
He honchoed it. He got it passed.
He was the coordinator.
And Obama,
he was the broker.
Obama got the credit for being the one that finally, with Emanuel, that got it done. And then these Obamanoids email me and say, no, Obama's against the bankers when he got five times the political contributions from Wall Street that McCain got.
Pelosi said on international television at that time, she said it was Emanuel and his knowledge of Wall Street that made this bailout possible.
So this is a literal financial coup d'etat by the Bank of England, by Wall Street, over the entire economy. And now they're saying they may get rid of U.S. T-bills and bonds and have the Federal Reserve issue them, and you will buy your bonds, government bonds, from them and pay your carbon taxes to them. And so they are going to pay for the issuance. They are going to pay. Yes, they've said it. They're going to pay for the issuance of bonds with oil taxes, with Tobin taxes, with green taxes. This is unbelievable, Tex.
Well, it is. There's going to be many more taxes to come. We're going to be
88 new ones in New York State.
Yeah, they call that the tax hell, New York City. But it's coming to all of America, and they're going to do it for control over us. Now, back to this economic situation. We see the whipsaw, the spiraling downward, and the deflation, the deleveraging of this $800 trillion that they've squandered. Suddenly, there will be the hyperinflation. Now, how does that begin?
But they will be the only ones with the money as they rush in to buy everything up.
Oh, well, yeah. Well, they've got all these toxic assets. For one thing, they've got to start building up things again. Now, how do you do that? What did they do during the Great Depression? Forget about the New Deal and people working at the Works Project, the WPA things, building highways. And forget about that. Listen, let me tell you how FDR... okay, solve the Great Depression. It's called World War II. It's called 50 million dying and perishing in flames.
And that's
in World War II.
We've got a break. We'll come back with this. That's what the RAND Corporation 2 months ago sent shockwaves around the world saying, we don't need a little war like Iraq or Afghanistan or Serbia. We need a big war on the scale of World War II. And now they're with false flag trying to start that between India and Pakistan. We'll talk to Professor of Space and Aeronautics and Military Affairs, Tex Mars.
From his Central Texas Command Center, deep behind enemy lines, the information war continues. It's Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
For the last 40 minutes of the show, we're going to be taking your phone calls with Tex Mars, 1-800-259-9231. And we'll be getting to all your calls coming up in the next segment. We're going to get into the big master plan from Tex Mars' perspective. Here today, but first I want to tell you about a few of the sponsors that make this radio show possible. One of them is eFoodsDirect.com. eFoodsDirect.com is the best continually operating storable foods company in the nation around almost 28 years, the J. Michael Stevens Group. And this is where I've decided to get my storable foods, because the elites have said they will use food as a weapon, so it's important to get off the grid. And if it ever comes to that, you won't have to go to the local Superdome or the FEMA camp or turn your firearms in for food. So I hope you'll visit eFoodsDirect.com. Again, that's eFoodsDirect.com. Or call and get a free brochure, or talk to their friendly folks that can help you out and tell you about their different lines of high-quality non-GMO grown right here in the U.S. foods at extremely low prices, like a third of supermarket prices. We try to do this at the store. 800-409-5633, 800-409-5633 or efoodsdirect.com. Just great folks. Check them out at efoodsdirect.com today. Big banners up on infowars.com and prisonplanet.com. And another one of our fabulous sponsors is Ecola Blue. And Ecola Blue is an atmospheric water generator for the home. Pays for itself in 1 year if you buy your water from the store. Pure clean water without the fluoride. Unlimited water from the humidity in the air. You know exactly what you're drinking. It produces 7.5 gallons a day in average humidity, sometimes more, sometimes less, but always at least 3.5 gallons, even in the driest climates. Great tasting, pure H2O, exactly the way nature makes it. No chemicals, pollutants, or toxins. Neutral pH. And then it goes through 5 internal filters after that. Learn more at ecoloblue.com. Ecoloblue.com, or give them a call at 866-585-4044. 866-585-4044. And lest we forget another one of our sponsors, and that is InfoWars.com and PrisonPlanet.com. That's my own websites. That's how I fund my operation. And I don't just carry my own 21 films, 20 that I've directed myself, another one that I've produced. I don't just carry my own films. I carry scores of other books and videos that I have found to be the most accurate, the most powerful, the most informative. And then, so when you're supporting us that way, you also support the other authors and filmmakers and researchers. And here is a book everybody should get, Codex Magica. This is understanding the elite's real language, how they communicate, what all the esoteric symbolism and stuff means. Available at InfoWars.com. You get these two books together discounted at InfoWars.com. Mysterious Monuments and Codex Magica. And Tex, before we get back into how they're planning World War III openly with Rand Corporation and the Pentagon saying they need it to get us to rally around them while they bring us into this new world order, tell us a little bit about these books. I mean, we carry a lot of your books and videos at InfoWars.com. Folks can also get them at PowerOfProphecy.com directly from you. We have some combo deals up on InfoWars.com where you can get some of my books and videos discounted when you get it with his books. But briefly, tell me about both these books, Tex.
Well, I think Codex Magica really made an impact, and is still making an impact, because what Codex Magica does is explain the psychopathology of these people. They are psychopaths, and why,
just like,
why are they doing what they do? But there's more than that.
And you notice that grassroots psychopaths, like the Zodiac and others, or the Hillside Strangler, they're all into codes and numbers and symbols. It always has an occult meaning, and the psychiatrists just say, well, that's because they're nuts. But why are they always into deviltry?
Of course. There's over 1,000 photographs, illustrations in Codex Magica, over 600 pages. And it shows you the hand signs, the ritualistic hand signs and symbols used by everything from corporations. You're going to see television programs and commercials. You'll see them using hand signs on the covers of magazines. They're actually communicating rituals, satanic rituals, in plain sight. And we're talking about everybody from President George W. Bush, their Senator Clinton. You say, what is the meaning of that hand sign that she's doing on the front cover of Time magazine? Pat Robertson. It goes on and on. Joseph Stalin. We go all the way back in history. But we bring it up to date, and you will see that they are communicating a sign language, a symbolic language.
Oh, Pat Robertson.
Oh. Yeah, Pat Robertson. He's giving the Masonic sign there. There are many Freemasonry. We use the actual Masonic textbooks, and we compare these hand signs, handshakes.
There's Karl Marx doing the same thing.
Karl Marx, that's right.
That the Union generals are doing. And
Stalin does the same one. Lenin gives that same hand sign. I call it the hidden sign of the men of Jabulon. They worship a different god than we do. And we talk about the religion of the Illuminati in the book. Mysterious Monuments is a very important book. It tells the story of how they're using architecture to build this new world, this grand design, the perfect world that they have. So we have Codex Magica, and then we have the companion book, Mysterious Monuments. But Mysterious Monuments is more than just look at these incredible monuments and their true meaning, their occult meaning, but it explains exactly the process of the Illuminati and this reinvention of the world by first destroying the current world and then building back from order They're bringing order out of chaos.
Here's Anton LaVey doing the same thing that all the presidents and Masonic leaders and communist leaders and Pat Robertson are doing.
That's on the back cover of his Satanic Bible.
And what does this particular, what does the lion's paw mean?
Well, the lion's paw basically means that if I reveal the oath that I've taken, may my chest be torn open and my beating heart be made the prey of vultures. So again, these are all. There's another sign that indicates, you know, the neck. May my throat be slit from ear to ear if I reveal the secrets of the order of the Illuminati and of the Masonic lodges. So all of these things we have to understand. Barack Obama, by the way, is a Prince Hall Mason. Jesse Jackson is a 33rd degree Mason, and no doubt his son is. So all of these people are member of these secret societies. By the way, the Order of Skull and Bones.
There's the James gang.
Yeah, Jesse James. Everybody thinks he was just a common robber. Oh, no, there they are giving the Masonic hand signs. So again, there's a lot of secret history, forbidden history, that is revealed in the book Codex Magica. In other words, the magic codes of the Illuminati.
All right. In the time we've got left, because I want to go to calls, and time just flies with you, Tex, so much information. It's on record. They want to start World War III. How are they going to get that done?
Well, there has to be, of course, just as 9/11 occurred, just as Oklahoma City bombing, there's got to be a false flag incident. It could be a suitcase nuclear bomb. And they will blame it, of course, on the chosen, the designated boogeyman enemy. Now, right now, we have the twin enemies of Pakistan and Iran. And, in fact, Pakistan is being built up very fast into the new boogeyman, the new enemy. So we have these two Muslim nations. We may have, for example, a United States naval vessel being sunk or damaged in the Persian Gulf. Now, what happens?
Well, it came out that Cheney was planning to stage that.
Yeah,
that even came
exactly.
out with New Yorker Magazine right. And Cy Hirsch that he wanted to paint up patrol boats to look like Iranian boats and have Navy SEALs attack ships.
Absolutely. So this would be a false flag incident. And they will blame this on terrorists, okay? Maybe from Iran, maybe from Pakistan. And, of course, we've got to retaliate against these terrorists. Now, the minute this occurs, the minute that there's war in the Middle East, okay, what happens? Well, first of all, the price of oil that has fallen from $147 a barrel down to $38 as of today will suddenly begin to go back up fast. We're going to say $200, $300 a barrel oil. But wait, that's not all. The Illuminati, for a long time, many years, decades, have controlled the price of oil. They wanted gold. They wanted to keep the price of gold down. I have never been one for saying buy gold. I just said no because the Illuminati control it. But hold on. Now they're changing course. Remember, they're going to be moving from this deleveraging, this deflationary spiral. They want to hyperinflate things. What better way to do it than oil, gold, and food, agricultural commodities? You're going to see an incredible explosion upward in the price of oil, gold, and food. These are the three levers that they will use. Real estate takes too long. The stock market, well, again, that takes too long. But these three things can be sent upward overnight. So I see once the whistle goes, war begins, panic. People will panic toward gold. They see it as a safe haven.
Well, that's already being reported that's happening.
Oh, yeah. So I believe it's very possible. Again, I'm a guy that I've had Power of Prophecy Ministries for 23 years. I have never said buy gold. But today on your program, this is the first time I'm telling people now might be the time. Why? The Illuminati did not want, inflation before. From the days of Paul Volcker, he gave us 22% interest rates.
To keep down inflation.
And now he's in charge of economic recovery, former head of the Fed, Paul Volcker. He's the guy that gave America 22% interest rates. But wait, now they want that again. Now they want to bring up everything again. Hyperinflation.
All right.
But it all begins from war. War will instantly bring the hyperinflation.
Well, look at Pakistan and India. That was clearly staged, and that's even come out in Indian papers that was staged by Indian intelligence.
The day of the Mumbai killings, there in India, supposedly by Pakistani terrorists. The day that occurred, oil began to go, or gold that had fallen to 756 went up over 800 again. You see, this is the kind of thing that will swing gold and drive the price up to unparalleled heights. Once the war kicks off, then the Illuminati's process reverses. The whipsaw of economic destabilization begins. There are millions who are being destroyed by the spiral downward through deflation.
Okay, Tex, we got a
break. And millions more will be destroyed through the hyperinflation.
All right. Now, I've got a few other questions I want to get into before you leave us. We're just running out of time here, but we're going to come back and take phone calls. All right, I want to go straight to your phone calls, but I didn't give you the number earlier. If you also want to call, it makes a great Christmas present. If you get your orders in now, most parts of the U.S., you'll get it UPS days before Christmas. The last day that it was guaranteed anywhere in the United States was yesterday if you order, but if you order today, we'll get your orders out tomorrow before the week ends, and you should get this in time to put under the tree. This will wake somebody up. This makes a great coffee table book. Mysterious Monuments and Codex Magica. Call toll-free 888-253. Again, that's 888-253-3139. 888-253-3139. Those phone numbers are also posted at InfoWars.com. Let's go to the phone calls without further ado. Your chance to bring up any topic to myself or our in-studio. Our first in-studio guest in the new studio, a pastor, a professor, former military officer, a best-selling author, filmmaker, Renaissance man, Tex Mars, and his lovely sweet wife is out there with us as well. Let's go ahead and take a phone call. Let's go ahead and talk to Betty in Wisconsin. We ought to get Wanda in here in studio with us.
I think we should, too. She had a little beauty. Beauty and the Two Beasts, right?
Speaking of beauty, Betty, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hi, Alex. I first discovered you around Thanksgiving this year, and I didn't know you had been putting the word out there. My parents have been doing this for some 50, 60 years. You have the best conversation on the world. I love this station. I can't stop listening to it.
Well, please spread the word. That's how we reach more people.
That's what I want. I want to, you know, spread your book, spread Tex's message, everything. This is the most intelligent, informative, truthful information we got to spread to the people worldwide. I'm glad you have worldwide listeners. I've been listening. But my question is, it kind of got off the message I was going to call up about this War Powers Act. There was a Freedom Site website that states that we're under war powers since 1933. That was
well,
the conclusion.
Yes, yes. Roosevelt put us under war powers in 33, but now they fully engage it. It's kind of like you have a car that has fifth gear, but you're not always using fifth gear. We've been put into fifth gear, and Congress was told 8 weeks ago, you give us unlimited power. The bill said can't be reviewed, can't be looked at above the law. They said, you do this or we'll declare physical martial law. And that was in the Arizona Phoenix Business Journal. I mean, that was in this article from yesterday admitting we are under War Powers Act. Bloomberg reported that War Powers Act, that even the other Fed governors aren't involved now. It's all secret. Trillions disappearing. I mean, this is open Ponzi scheme scammers looting and raping us and threatening us with the military and police. Tex, I wanted to ask you that, and then we'll go back to Betty. How do you see this unfolding, though, when they try to turn the police and military loose on the people? I don't see that going too well.
Well, remember, they first have to have this incredible 9/11 type incident. In fact, it's got to be a multiple of 100 times as bad as 9/11. So frighten people, and then you set up people as the boogeymen, okay? Patriots who own guns. Patriots who demand their constitutional rights.
They're going to stage lots of little militia false flags and white supremacists.
Oh, absolutely. And so we have the creation already of the national security state, and we will see this fulfillment of the Big Brother process brought to its culmination. But remember, they must have enemies. And I believe the everyday citizen out there, the people who still believe in the Constitution and individual rights, and it doesn't matter if you're left or right wing, believe me, you are the enemy if you believe in personal freedom and individualism. And we're going to be the enemy, and they're
collapse.
Going to use the media to point the finger at us.
Exactly, and we already see it happening. They're kind of going back to the old Clinton thing of militias, gun owners. Obama saying we're clinging to our Bibles and our guns. Go ahead and finish up what you were saying, Betty.
Yes, and then also along that line of the wars, like the development of these chemical manufacturing plants all dotted across the United States, and they're the nuclear bombs. I'm really scared for a World War III, the capacity.
Well, they're looking to start a global crisis in Central Asia and the Middle East. I don't know about, you know, things happening here, but very serious. Betty, thank you for the call. Let's talk to Eric in Wisconsin. Another call from Wisconsin. Eric, you're on the air. Welcome.
Hey, Alex and Tex, how you guys doing?
Good.
Hey, I got your book, Tex. I really enjoy it. You know, I'm looking at everything that's going on in the world, and you know, I've got a couple of things that I might want to bring to the table, some ideas of what I think might happen that I haven't heard anybody else talking about. In World War II, Hitler used a counterfeit as a means of weapon. He was going to fly over Europe and drop off a bunch of British notes. Do you think that there might be a possibility that, along with the inflation deflation scam, that they might also cake up some kind of a huge counterfeit scam that might scare
the Federal Reserve is
the
Federal
the
Reserve is counterfeit. Again, when the money's first printed, and Tex, I want to get your take on this when we come back. We're going to break. Understand, the bankers, when they first print the money, it has value. They're not even printing it. They're issuing zeros and ones in computers. They buy up real assets. Then, once it deflates in hyperinflation, they give us all the debt, and then they erect hundreds of new taxes through IMF, World Bank shock therapy to squeeze us out of it. What they do to third world countries, they're now doing now. Stay there. We'll come right back to you, Eric. We'll be right back. You know, folks, I wish that that reality wasn't this way. I'm gonna chase, but we have to work with the cards we're dealt, like I said in the last hour. The woman and the stallion and the wind. And we have very evil people in control of the world government. We could debate all day who exactly they are or who has the most power. Regardless, they've openly declared their world government against us. They're openly coming after our liberties and freedoms. We're going to go back to Eric, David, Ben, Pat, Francis, and others in a moment. But, Tex, I wanted to ask you this question. Again, why are they coming out and saying, well, this is world government, it is tyrannical, but tyranny is good? I'm sure you saw the Financial Times of London last week.
Mm-hmm.
And the Wall Street Journal saying, new world order, yeah, you'll pay your taxes to the bank. I keep going over this because, you know, we've been called kooks and nuts and crazies because we would read the documents and the government documents and their own reports and the white papers. Now it's all emerged, which we knew they'd always have to do when they finally try to put the capstone on. Does this signal that we are really here at the big plunge? We are really here at the culmination of all the plans, you know, the zero hour, the D-Day for the new world order conflagration? I mean, does this signify the fact that they're uncloaking themselves? Doesn't this signify that we're here?
We're seeing a crescendo now. I mean, everything is coming to culmination. But remember, that process, when Lenin and Trotsky were sent in, you know, to Moscow and began the great Soviet revolution, and remember, more people died from communism. And we're talking about over 100 million people who died in gulags, purges, and so forth. So it takes a while, though. At first, Lenin said, we're going to bring freedom to people. We're going to throw out the evil capitalist.
Change. A workers'
change.
Paradise.
We're going to reinvent things and help the workers. And we are, listen to this, we're a dictatorship, but wait, we're the dictatorship of the people, of the proletariat. We represent the people. Okay, this will be the
and they didn't ravage
state.
The rich people. The rich people were running it. They went and destroyed the middle class and even poor farmers, anybody that was somewhat self-sufficient. And of course, I mean, you know, these are public now, and the KGB files have been released. You know, as you've reported, they would have the NKVD out in the countryside, and they'd say, "Okay, we've killed half the town. You know, do we come back? No, continue killing."
Oh, they wanted more and more blood. In fact, Lenin demanded more blood. So we're going to have this in America, too. We're moving into a Leninist New World Order. Now, how are they going to do this? First of all, they couldn't use George W. Bush and Dick Cheney. Those guys are morons. Everybody laughs at them. They're hated. But now they've got a man that the whole world loves, the whole world admires, and he has the oratory skills. They are going to use him. He is biracial. He represents the whole world. across borders. So they have the vehicle now. And they have a ruthless chief of staff behind him in Rahm the Cruel, Emmanuel.
Now, this is a guy who, in the Washington Post, they admit that when Bill Clinton had just won re-election, he for like 10 minutes, he listed people that had gone against him with a steak knife, foaming mm-hmm. at the mouth, screaming, die, die, just in a, ah, ah, just every time he lists their name.
You're a dead man for going against Clinton. Now, I want people to understand something. Rahm the Cruel Emmanuel was in the Clinton White House. You're right. And
he honchoed the gun confiscation, and his new attorney general honchoed the cover-up of OKC.
He was the guy that brought Monica Lewinsky in so that they could blackmail Bill Clinton. He brought Monica Lewinsky
in. And that's why they love Obama, because he's got all this dirt on him. I mean, look at him with Rezko and Blagojevich and all of these guys. And it's admitted now that he was a numbers racket runner working for the mob.
Blagojevich, they had weekly meetings of Blagojevich with Obama and Rahm Emanuel, and they groomed and trained him during his campaign for the governorship of Illinois. So Blagojevich is part of that system. Now, what we have to understand then is we have these two saviors, Obama and Rahm the Cruel Emmanuel. And the people of America are being now set up by Time Magazine, Newsweek, U.S. News and World Report, all of the channels. We're being set up to accept this new Messiah. And
yeah, the crisis came from Bush and all the horrible stuff to come. Just do what Obama says. He'll save you.
The saviors are here.
And that's why they're saying he's like Lincoln. He's like Lincoln and Roosevelt rolled into one. He will unify during the crises. He will be the strong man. But instead of make-work brigades, you know, like we had that were bad enough socializing things under Roosevelt, Franklin Delano, nothing happens by accident in Washington. It's all planned. They're saying million-man youth brigade, million-person domestic spy force, as strong as the military. And people said, oh, he didn't mean that. And now on his change.gov, they pulled it now, saying, yes, you will have to serve, including people up to 65 years of age. All Americans will serve.
All collectivist systems.
And then Rahm Emanuel was being questioned by the New York Daily News about it. And he said, what, you don't want to be put on the trains? Started laughing. Well, what does that mean? Well, you don't want to be put on the trains.
In the Soviet Union, they had Komsomol, the
so he's laughing. They plan to do this if they're able to.
They plan to do a
red style, Nazi style purge here.
They had the Komsomol, the communist youth in the Soviet Union. They had the Nazi youth, of course, as well. So, and no doubt, and they're going to. By the way, these youth are going to be rooting out and tattling on their parents. And
oh, no,
next
stop. Climate cops in the U.S. and England, in the textbooks, in the ads, they wear red and black uniforms and armbands, and it says, turn your parents in, and the New York Times said these are, about a month ago, these are good parents and good children, and the parents were saying, I'm so proud my child is reporting me and writing dossiers for the school. No, I'm not kidding. You saw it probably.
Yeah, it's right
it
out of 1984.
I'm not kidding. In the New York, and listen, now kids, they're talking about arresting kids if they have a cough drop at school. That was in the news. And the news says maybe they need to be arrested. Maybe a cough drop. See, so if you're some banker criminal, you can steal trillions, but if a child has a over-the-counter cough drop in the candy section for their sore throat, the SWAT team's coming.
Oh yeah, well it is a national security state. They've already got the gulags. They've already spent billions of dollars to build these gulags, and now they're going to activate these things. But now remember this: they've got to have boogeymen. They've got to have the Osama bin Ladens, the Ahmadinejads, and they've got to have the domestic terrorists. So I believe there will be false incidents created, and they will blame it on the domestic terrorist. So you and I could be enemies. Remember George Bush, when he right after 9/11, he went to the United Nations, and he said, we cannot tolerate these conspiracy theorists. Okay?
Concerning the attacks of 9/11.
Right.
And then he talked about a dark cult of evil that feeds off human suffering. Got this weird little look on his face.
Yeah, well, what an evil man that guy is. But now we have Obama, much beloved, with all these oratory
skills. Yeah, Bush looks
skills.
Like the portrait of Dorian Gray, and then Obama looks like a nice guy. And again, the psychological engineers knew what they were doing. They give us the evil, corrupt, idiot prince. Now they give us the golden boy.
The golden boy. Well, Abner Mikva, who was White House counsel under Bill Clinton, he's the guy that covered up everything, you know, during the impeachment proceedings. He was the White House counsel, okay? Very wealthy, multimillionaire, Jewish, former U.S. congressman. In the Chicago Tribune, there's an article entitled Barack Obama, the First Jewish President. The First Jewish President. Remember that they called Bill Clinton the first black president? And he relished being called it. He said, I've been called the first black president. So we're not
talking
about
actual
Jewish.
So what's being
said
is, if people didn't like the undue influence of Israeli nationals and intelligence in the Bush White House, it's now going to get worse. But what is the system going to do? As top professors and many Jewish leaders as well come out and say that what Israel's doing in the U.S., trying to control our foreign policy and domestic operations, is out of control?
Well, the media is going to be very firmly controlled. Remember,
That's why they're announcing they're going after the web.
Absolutely. Oh, yeah. The Internet's the big...
They're already censoring
the
YouTube.
The Internet, shortwave,
suddenly it's just
radio
everywhere.
And Internet are the big problems right now. Because there's still all these websites like yours, like Infowars.com or PowerProphecy.com, mine, that are telling the truth. We're going to be the enemy next. And we're already being attacked.
No, suddenly
by Yahoo,
YouTube,
and
Google
and
everywhere, we're being shut down. You can't do bulletins. You can't share videos. They're banning sites for no reason. And they're announcing... of all places, that the ADL literally is running YouTube now, and it says whatever the ADL says, YouTube. No, it's on their website.
Yeah, they have their own agents. I believe my opinion is
APAC.
No.
I mean, YouTube
also
says on its rules page that the ADL sits there and decides.
Well, yeah,
so, I mean,
yeah, they're
going to
censor
God.
Us. They're going to censor us. There are things that cannot be said. What we've said on this program today, people better audio tape, or they better get a CD of your program, because these things are not going to be allowed to be said. And I think it's going to be just a few more years from now.
But the good news is if everybody stands up and speaks against this fascist system, the New World Order, I mean, they can't silence everybody. The answer is we need to be bold. We need to really say it like it is. We need to go further than we
Absolutely.
Ever gone. Let's go back to the calls. Okay. Finishing up with Eric in Wisconsin. Finish up with your point, Eric.
Well, you know, I agree with Tex that they're using certain tools as weapons, money and gas and food. You know, I think that what we need to do as people is realize that we do have things that they don't have, too, and we have numbers. And we do have our own money, even though we're not stockpiling it the way they do. But every time we buy something, we choose whether we're going to shop at Walmart.
Yeah, take GMO food. That's why GMO food is going out of a lot of the stores, because people won't buy it.
Right. And they even passed a law saying that organic food can now be stamped organic, even if it's not 100% organic.
So they're trying to end run. I agree. So you're right. We can vote with our dollars. Go ahead. Anything else?
Yeah, a chain is only as strong as its weakest link, and I think that we need to strengthen our local economies. I think we need to wake people up, and you've been doing an awesome job, and I really applaud that, Alex. Thanks.
All right, I appreciate you calling and saying that. Let's go ahead and talk to David in Michigan. David, you're on the air. Welcome.
Hey, Alex.
Hi.
Alex.
Yes.
How you doing? This is Gordy's brother.
Oh, I met Gordy a few times. Nice guy. How you doing?
Pretty good. How you doing?
Good.
Good. He just kind of turned me on to your show by telephone. I've been listening to you guys for a couple of weeks now.
That's right. We have if people can't listen on shortwave internet, don't have an AM and FM satellite in their area, we have a number. If you put it on screen, I'll read it out. We have a number where about 200 people can call and listen for free to the show over the phone, and we have that in preparation for when they do shut down the web and things, so we can feed micro FMs, feed radio stations. You know, it's kind of an emergency backup. We're going to try to add more phones, because it's not internet. These are regular phone lines. So that's why it costs us a few thousand dollars a month. That's why sponsoring us is important. But other than the way you're listening, sir, do you have any points you'd like to make?
Yeah, while listening to you guys, I heard Tex talking about Albert Pike. It's kind of funny because about 6 years ago, I heard Jack Van Impe say that Albert Pike and Giuseppe Messina planned the three world wars back in the 1800s.
Yeah, the British Naval Museum has his letters to the Masons over there, and he wrote some about it in his book, and he explained the three wars. Tex, why don't you briefly mention that, the three wars, you know, how they would engineer these three wars against humanity to bring in the Luciferian religion.
The final war would be precipitated by a great crisis in the Middle East. Now, remember, this plan for these three wars...
1878.
And we've had World War I, we've had World War II, and now we have this incredible Middle East juggernaut that's facing
us. And he wrote this in 1878.
Yeah, and he said that the third one would be the final climactic one, when all the religions would be destroyed, and basically the empire of Freemasonry and the Illuminati would be established.
And he also said, I feel the power of Lucifer seething in my hands. And when Rob, the Grand Masonic Hall in D.C., you know, gave him a tour. And it was Lincoln, huge statues. It was huge statues of Albert Pike. And I talked to local Masons who are porch Masons, and they go, oh, no, Albert Pike, we're not involved with him.
Yeah.
He was just a supreme commander of the whole world.
Oh yeah. Well, Fred Kleinknecht, 33rd degree sovereign grand commander up until just a few years ago, said that Pike's book, Morals and Dogma, is the crux of all of Freemasonry. He said we should use it as a daily guide for living. So I think their sovereign grand commander knows a lot more than just some of the local Masons, who are just, some of these guys are nice guys. They've joined the Jesters or the Shriners for whatever reasons, business reasons, friendships, and so
actually,
forth.
Actually, John, can you dig that clip up where the Masons going into the Shriner meeting? And we have the video of this, and he says, oh, sweet Lucifer.
I've seen that.
Hey, John, can you dig that up from a few months ago? Hey, listen, thanks. Thanks for the call, David. Good to hear from you. Say hi to Gordy. Ben in Tennessee, you're on the air. Welcome, Ben.
Hey, guys. Alex, I just want to thank you for everything that you do. You've really inspired me to do everything that I can to just spread the info and get it out there. We started an organization called Christian Action Against Apathy because we believe that if the I believe God's given you the knowledge that you have because He wants to prepare the church, because when all this stuff collapses, man, if we are prepared, then we are in a place that we can really truly minister to people and really give them God's love, which is really the only hope that we have.
I agree. Well, it was the churches that led the fight against King George III, and that's why the establishment, the International Council of Churches and others, as the text is written about decades ago, came in and took the churches over. And text now we have 26,000 preachers secretly recruited by FEMA to teach their flocks to turn their guns in and go along with the New World Order. And now it's admitted. Everything we told people about when it was secret is admitted now. So thank God bless you for reaching out to the churches.
Man, it's been going really well, and we actually, you talked about my video that made it on YouTube from the Nashville presidential debate, where we got a police escort because we were trying to educate people about the Federal Reserve and the bailout. And
you were peacefully talking to people. They were yelling and screaming, and the police grabbed you, grabbed your camera, and threw you off and said, they're all allowed to be out yelling and screaming and doing what they want. You can't because you're talking about the Federal Reserve. The police are trained you're talking about the Federal Reserve. That doesn't exist. Oh, the CFR doesn't exist. Though when I was in Dallas protesting them a few weeks ago, the cops were going, we know they're bad. And the cops were like clapping. So something's happening, Tex. Hey, listen, I appreciate your call. Maybe we'll have you on as a guest sometime. Send Aaron an email. I'm trying to jam in all these calls. Here's the sweet Lucifer audio clip.
Lucifer, what is your problem?
Just that, sir.
Okay.
I'm a Christian, sir.
I'm pure and virtuous and wholesome and innocent. How can you say anything bad about me?
Sir, you need to be born again.
I am born again.
Did you just say that you are Lucifer?
I am Lucifer.
Okay, define Lucifer for me.
Pure, virtuous, wholesome, innocent individual that's out to help people.
Lucifer is?
Yeah.
Say that again. Lucifer is a pure, holy...
Virtuous.
Virtuous. Now, see the Lucifer that God created?
That's the same one.
Oh, man, this is great. I'm going to put this on the internet.
Oh, amen. God bless you, amen. Brother.
Because that's exactly what the Shriners and Masons teach, is that Lucifer is light.
No.
And you're, hey,
what
you're
about
confirming
those hospitals?
I know. Listen, and that's enough. Man. You see the guy on the video on YouTube, and by the way, I want to get that guy on that shot that video. He is seething with it. I mean, and that's what you see. And you tell low-level Masons this, and they don't. That's not true. That's not true. No, it's not Lucifer. But when most Masons don't know, there's more than 33rd degrees. On this panopticon, there's all these goddesses and deities, and you know, humans would only go up to about 160th degree. From the information I have. And most Masons never even make it up to the first real degree, 33rd. So it's incredible. Final segment, more phone calls straight ahead with our special guest in studio, Tex Mars, PowerProphecy.com. By the way, if you want to be able to dial in and just listen over your phone that's non-internet, in case they shut that down, it's 512-646-5000, 512-646-5000, and that is a regular phone line you can call into and listen. All right, let's go to some of the callers here. Let's talk to, who's up next here? Pat in Indiana, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hello?
Yes, welcome.
I'd just like to say to Tex Mars that Proverb 24, 20, 21, and 22, I believe, is for Obama and his crew. It says, "My son, fear thou the Lord and the King, and meddle not with them that are given to change. For their calamity shall rise suddenly, and who knoweth the ruins of them both." So I believe, you know, he wants change, but we want to return to what we had. But I think, you know, that scripture applies to them real easy, since they're the ones that want change.
Oh, it's change, but it's like the change of Lenin and Hitler, all created by the New World Order crew. I mean, they are just absolutely wicked. Anything else, Pat?
Yeah, I heard you talk about the pastors. I have a niece and her husband. They're pastors, and they joined FEMA and Billy Graham's organization 2 years ago. So I just want to let them know that is true. There's thousands of pastors getting ready to lead their people into gulag camps and talk them into giving up their guns and taking their shots and whatever else they
That's called being a Judas goat.
Yeah. Well, I sent a big package of everything I could find to them about Billy Graham and Hitler and what happened to the Catholic priest, how they were... He was the defender of the faith, and how they took off their robes and put on uniforms. I sent everything that I could find, so I hope that they read it, and I hope they pay attention.
Absolutely. You know, I apologize to Francis and Roger and everybody else, because I want to be able to give Tex Mars a chance to have closing comments here at the end of the show in the last few minutes. But call back next time Tex is in, or call back, and we'll put you to the head of the line. Quite a transmission today, and rebroadcast starts with Gerald Celente, trends forecaster, and then Tex Mars, and I covered a lot of key info in the first 30 minutes of the show, so that's going to restream at Infowars.com in about T-minus 3 minutes. And on the free podcast, over 115,000 people a day downloading the free podcast to their MP3 or iPods, not just listening to the live streams, and millions listening on the M&F. I'm thankful to all those sponsors, affiliates, and to the good Lord above for protecting and guiding and directing all of us. And just thank God for great people like Tex and just the amazing courage he's had. Tex, you got about 2 minutes to close it out, sir, with any other key points you want to add about the times we're going into.
Well, we're going into some very chaotic times. It's an engineered chaos. But always keep this in mind, okay? There is a God. There is absolutely a God. And it's interesting. One of Jesus' greatest sayings was very simple. Fear not. Fear not. So I believe the wonderful thing about America is that we have a lot of brave, courageous people out there. And you know, Alex, you and I don't have all the answers. But I know this much. We've got some people out there that care, that won't change, but what they want is the change that will bring us back to the Constitution and this individual personal freedom. Now, I think we can achieve that, but we're going to have to fight very, very hard. And by the way, I think they're innovative ways. We need to study, you know, back in history, what happened with the Sovietization process.
And how people defeated it.
Oh, and how people have defeated that. And I think we can do the same thing here in America. There's a lot of us. Listen, I believe we are the dominant force in American society, and that's why they want to destroy us.
Absolutely. Tex Mars, great having you.
Thank you, Alex. God bless you.
Thanks for being with us on our maiden voyage with a guest in studio. The third show we've done officially. We did one test Friday. And I want to thank all the PrisonPlanet.tv subscribers that watch us live and then watch it when we upload it as well for your support. You make so much of this show possible. As we upgrade it and expand it, we're going to be adding a lot of new features. Take care. God bless you all. Rebroadcast starts now.